In the year of the remaster, I was pleasantly surprised to see Turok released on Steam, and now the same company is bringing the N64 release of Forsaken back to PC and the Xbox One as well. Engage your 6 degrees of freedom and join us for another episode of the show where every gamer has a voice.
Orange Lounge Radio.
Hello, my friends out there on the internet. Welcome back. It's another week of the show where every gamer has a voice. It's Orange Lounge Radio live tonight, episode number 739 for this July 29th of 2018. Oh my gosh, I can't believe August is almost here, and then that means fall is around the corner and all the holiday games are around the corner. Crazy time. Anyway, I am Rob Roberts here to talk about video games and gaming culture, the gamer lifestyle with you here on the show with my co-hosts. Say hello, as always, to the one and only Dark Sakura, or Jamie Summers.
Hi.
Hi, how are you?
I'm okay.
Yeah? You were coming through quiet there for a minute, yeah. But we're good. We're good.
No, yesterday was a busy day.
Yeah? Well, you went to California Extreme, right?
I did.
You want to tell us a little bit about that?
There were lots of video games, lots of noise.
Yeah.
Lots of lights, lots of headaches, which I still have a bit of one today.
Mm-hmm.
But I had a great time. Played a bunch of stuff. And I'll talk about it when I talk about what I played, but there was a bit of a rarity there, and that was a Poppin' Stage.
Oh, is that the dancing thing?
Yes, it is completely non-intuitive.
Huh.
I did not enjoy it.
I don't think I've ever played that. I didn't even know they had one of those in the Bay Area anywhere.
Them.
Oh, I love Theater of Them. Theater of Them Arcade is great. That's kind of a newer game for California Extreme to have. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it was really fun, but only like two songs. It was kind of, I'm glad I didn't pay for it.
Yeah.
But I'll talk more about that in my gaming week.
Sounds good. So for those that don't know, if you've never heard of it, California Extreme is a big thing that they have here in the Bay Area, where they basically fill a ballroom at a hotel with, it's supposed to be classic arcade games, but it sounds like they put a lot of contemporary stuff in there too, especially
All across the spectrum.
It's all across the spectrum.
And old and new pinball, because they had the Iron Maiden machines out.
Because didn't it start as a pinball thing and then kind of grew into this other stuff too? I don't know. It's been a long time. So, huh. All right. Interesting. Anyhow, also joining us in studio, say hello to Techmaster Loki.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm good.
You were playing with wires down there. Everything okay?
Well, yeah, because my laptop said it wasn't charging. I was like,
that's weird.
It's plugged in.
You're going to need that.
Apparently, a cord is loose.
No California Extreme for you, sadly.
No.
I wish I could have gone, but I had a big show last night. The clue on stage that I talked about a few previous weeks happened last night. So it kept my week was obviously very busy preparing for that. And today I'm just in like crash and burn. I left the house once today to walk up the street to go raid an Alolan Marowak. That's the only time I've left the house today. So, and probably will be the only time I leave the house today. So anyway, but I would have loved to have gone to California Extreme, except that it's always inevitably on some weekend where I have something else going on. Summer's a busy time. What can I say?
I didn't even know it was this weekend.
Yeah. Like it snuck up on me. I got a text from our buddy Melody just out of the blue, like that was like, are you coming to California Extreme? And I think it was something like that. And I was like, oh, well, no, Clue is also tomorrow. So, and I was like, dang, I didn't even realize it was this weekend. Oh, well, I'm glad to hear it was a good show, at least, and that fun was had by some people. It was good. Anyway, so any exciting stuff going on in your week, Loki?
No, not really. I mean, just still working on Unreal programming.
Okay.
So I've been sticking with that. Been doing at least like a few hours a day.
Good. I saw some of your tweets that you're really liking some of like the, I guess, like templates and stuff that they do.
Well, it's just like they have the way the engine's built. Because, I mean, it's Unreal Engine. You're going to use it for first-person shooters. I mean, that's what they built it on. And so, of course, they have a lot of stuff built for shooter games. And so they have a lot of these things you would normally have to make all the time, like projectile scripts and stuff for different types of cameras for third-person shooter cameras or first-person shooter cameras. They have a lot of that built. Now, I mean, Unity has some of that too, but I don't know. I kind of like the way that they set this up a little bit. I'm still getting the hang of blueprints and kind of figuring out how that translates, into normal code. Because there's a whole lot of, like, I'm going to have to go through, after I'm done with this, I'm going to have to go through a bunch of different blueprint courses to kind of learn all of the ins and outs of what it can do. Because there's a lot of features there, but I like it, and I like how it makes everything easy to make look good, I guess.
All right, cool. So does this mean your game is a first-person shooter? that you're making? Okay. All right. No. I thought we might have got some confirmation in there. I tried, you guys. Anyway, let's go to our chat. Say hello to our chatters. We do, of course, tape live every Sunday night at the Voice of Geeks Network, vognetwork.com, vognetwork.com, 6 o'clock Pacific, 9 o'clock Eastern, right after the Bobby Blackwolf Show. And you can chat along with us at live.vognetwork.com, where ActDeft says, Alola Marowak was worth it. I never thought I would be so excited to catch a Marowak, because I don't know about you guys, but like Cubones are like herpes here. They're everywhere, right? So I have tons of regular Marowaks, but the Alola Marowak is so cool with like the fire thing, and the only way you can get them right now is in raids. They didn't even put them in the eggs. So yeah, it was kind of worth it, actually, even though it didn't end up highest appraisal. But I mean, how often do you actually battle with Marowak? Probably not very often. Sometimes it's about putting cool stuff in gyms, though, because I was able to get a Torkoal from Shane, who was at the actual Go Fest or whatever they called it in Chicago, where they had a ton of them. So he brought me back a Torkoal. So I just started putting Torkoal in gyms around here just so that people could get the dex entry if they didn't already have it. So, you know, kind of fun. Even though they don't get the full entry without actually capturing a Torkoal. So hopefully there'll be more opportunities to catch some of those things that are typically region locked. I know the only things I need now are region locked Mr. Mime and Kangaskhan. That's all I need. So I'm going to hope that maybe I can get some at Dragon Con, because people come from all around the world to Dragon Con. So I'm hoping there'll be like a trading outpost or something where like maybe I could trade some Tauros, which is exclusive here. But here's the other funny thing. I didn't mean to make this a Pokemon Go podcast, but deal with it. A lot of people were playing. on my flight back from Dragon Con this year, I go to the Austin airport. And I believe Austin is far enough south where I can get Corsola, I think. So I'm going to try to get one at the airport, because I think I have a layover of like 90 minutes. So everybody cross your fingers. Although I think JD actually, when he was in Florida, brought back some stuff to trade. But it would be cool to catch one of my own. And then I could get more to bring back to trade for some of the other people around here. So we'll see. We'll see. Anyway, other comments in chat over at live.vognetwork.com. Okay, one more Pokemon comment here from SSGO100 Matt, who says, I've not gotten a chance to get an Alolan Marowak. I did get an Alolan Raichu. It doesn't seem like the Marowak spawn very often, but you need a group to do Marowak. You can solo Raichu if you're a higher level. I soloed it, but I only had like 12 seconds left on the clock. But I just used like the recommended Pokemon too, which aren't always the best. The recommended are usually more better defenders than attackers. But I did it with Weather Boost. I had like 12 seconds left, but I was able to solo it. So you can solo Alolan Raichu, but if you can, duo it for the insurance. It's probably a lot easier. All right. Anyway, let's move on and talk about something that's I do love Pokemon Go, but I'm sure it's going to come up in gaming weeks too. Let's talk about some other games and a little story to kick us off, because we like it when video games. I don't know about you guys, but I like when I see video games represented kind of like in the mainstream stuff. Like, not that I don't think gaming necessarily needs that validation at this point, because I know we've talked about it before. I think as you know, our generation is getting older. That sort of that I really don't like to use the term Zillennial, but you know what I'm talking about, like kind of that window right between Generation X and Millennial, right? Kind of like as that generation is getting older, like we all know video games. Like even if like you had friends that play video games, or you know, people did video games. So it's not that we necessarily need the validation, but it's still kind of cool to see stuff on mainstream TV.
Yeah.
So for example, the Overwatch League had their finals on, and we talked about this last week's show, but the finals really were on ESPN this weekend, and the London Spitfire won the whole thing. And I know some people were really into that, watching it. They had it at a huge arena, the Barclays Arena, so they did it at a like more like an arena that would typically have like basketball and stuff, instead of the custom one that's basically a TV studio that Blizzard built a little closer to their home. So I mean, it's pretty cool to see that kind of validation. But then this one, in my opinion, kind of came out of nowhere. Somebody tweeted this at me, because I don't always watch this show, but you guys ever watched America's Got Talent, that show? It's been on for years now. It's on like its 13th season or something.
I don't know what you're talking about. No, yes, I've seen that show.
Well, here's my – okay. I don't really watch America's Got Talent, but those videos from all those – because – no matter what country you live in, they have one of these shows. They have the Britain's Got Talent. They have everything. Everybody's got talent, which is a talent-filled world, right? So
everybody has talent. Nobody has talent.
So these talent things show up all the time on Facebook because it'll be like, look at this 11-year-old girl that sings opera so beautiful, she will make you cry. Or look at this girl who plays the ukulele. She's got a story that will break your heart. And check out this 8-year-old boy that's singing a song about his mom who's dying of cancer. And like all these like – it's emotional porn. That show is emotional pornography.
It's Facebook it's forward garbage.
It is. But it's totally like, and I eat it up. Like, you know, just like, you know, sometimes you want real pornography for reasons, some must say. Sometimes you want emotional pornography because I just want to cry. I need to have a good cry. So I'm going to watch some emotional pornography. What, Loki? You don't fall down the well of emotional pornography ever?
No.
Is it just
Dark
Soccer?
I don't fall down a well of regular pornography either. Where are these wells filled with pornography? This is...
Well, Facebook has... And then the
this
other
is
one...
a well of garbage. That's like I'm dumping... just jumping into the dumpster there.
Pornhub would be the other, I suppose, I guess. Dark Soccer, do you ever sit there for hours and hours and watch emotional pornography?
No.
No? What? Is it just me? Chatters.
All right, I do watch Animal Cops Houston.
Okay, so I would say like animal videos can totally be emotional pornography. Like if you just want to sit there and watch cute cat videos for an hour, that's totally emotional porn. It's just a different type. Just like real pornography, many different types. Okay, so anyway, on my favorite emotional porn show this week, we had a choir that was on performing. It was the Angel City Choral, I think is the name of their group. And they are from the Los Angeles area. And the big thing is that they're a very diverse group of people. You know, you've got all sorts of diversity when it comes to races, ethnicities, sexuality, age, like, you know, political leanings and all that stuff. That's kind of like their big thing. They all come together to sing. Well, they already got through on the first, so I guess the way this show works, there's like the auditions, right? So they got through on the auditions with their rendition of, I kid you not, Toto's Africa, which I know that song is all the rage right now, but they legit did that song, and it was really good. Like, I saw that one, too, on one of my emotional porn binges, and they did a really good job on that. Well, they were back this week for, I guess, the judges' cut as they try to narrow it down, I think, to like the top 32 or something. So during the judges' cut, they sang this one, which some of you gamers, especially the one that listens to this show, might recognize. Do you recognize this at all? Yeah, I've played it on OLR before. We actually had the guy who made this song on OLR some time ago. It's Baba Yetu from Civilization 4. It's the epic title opening sequence, which went on to be the first gaming song that got a Grammy. Well, I didn't realize this, but apparently that song, maybe because of the fact that it won the Grammy, it's become like kind of like one of the standards. Like there's many like high schools and so forth that do adaptations of this. And, you know, well-deserved on Christopher Tin. It's a great song. I think most people that have heard this love this song. And I would say, again, if you like this song, you need to go look up the song he did in Civilization VI, The Dream of Flight. I can't remember. It's in Italian, but it translates to Dream of Flight. That song is amazing, too. But anyway, Baba Yetu, which is Swahili, if I remember right, for the Lord's Prayer, that's the song that was on America's Got Talent. This is kind of an interesting twist, though. So the way it works, I guess they do like 12 acts in an episode, and there's a guest judge there every week because there's like the regular judges like Heidi Klum and Scary Spice, like the regular judges. But then there's a guest judge every week, and the guest judge can press the golden buzzer for one act. Well, the golden buzzer was pressed on these guys because it was a really good performance, if you haven't watched it already yet. But it was pressed by Olivia Munn, which I thought was kind of interesting. So that was pretty cool. So I wonder if she recognized the song, because she's a bit of a gamer, right?
Probably.
Yeah. So wasn't she on Attack of the Show for a short while? If I remember right, yeah. So kind of interesting. Anyhow, so they moved on with that. Sadly, I don't think I saw the name of the song get checked. I don't think I heard Christopher Tin get name checked or anything like that. But it was still one of those moments of, wait a minute, I know this because of a video game. So I was kind of curious, like, if you guys have had any moments. I'll open this up to chat as well. I don't know, and I know I'm springing this on you guys in the studio, but maybe you have something that jumps off the top of your head. Did you have any moments where you've seen, like, video gaming get represented in a mainstream culture, and you're like, oh, I know that because I'm a gamer. Have you ever kind of, like, had that? I mean, Loki, I imagine, like, the movie Ready Player One was nothing but that. So I'm not sure if that's the best place to start, but I guess it was a Spielberg movie. So
I love calling out what games people are playing on TV dramas. Like, what they're playing on, like, you know, older systems and stuff like that. For like, example, House. To my wife's displeased, you know, she's very displeased when I do that.
When
I'm like, oh, that's GTA. Oh, hey, that's Spider-Man. Oh, hey, that's this.
When they're playing Call of Duty, but it has Atari 2600 noises. That's
right. He had like a PSP that he got in one of them because, you know, Sony tie-in probably. So like I kept calling. I'm like, yeah, it's a PSP. She's like, just stop. Don't do that.
Jamie, anything that jumps into your mind? Like, I know you don't watch a ton of television, but you know,
Ralph?
This gotta be, what's okay. I like that. Like Disney
hopping on it.
Yeah, Disney embracing the gaming culture. That's a good answer too. And I think that's something where gaming culture has kind of embraced it back. And you know, we're getting a Wreck-It Ralph too. And yeah. I think a lot of people watch Wreck-It Ralph to try to catch all the little subtle references
that
too.
Shitty Pixels movie. I mean, that was definitely a mainstream attempt to capture.
Yeah, attempt is a good word. There was an attempt, Jamie. There was an attempt.
Well, but this is my point, is just that even, you know, there's that attempt. So
yeah. Looking in chat over at live.vognetwork.com, Tiger Claw says, most would know Olivia Munn as Psylocke in X-Men Apocalypse. I believe, if I'm not mistaken, she was also the... I always get the two Olivias confused.
Cora?
She's not the one in Tron Legacy. That's a different Olivia. It's the other one.
Yeah, Olivia Wilde.
It's right. Olivia Wilde is yeah. So no, Olivia Munn was the girlfriend in Magic Mike. I don't know why my mind goes to Magic Mike, but there you go.
It's probably because of that porn well that you're talking about.
Anyway, how dare you? Bobby Blackwolf points out the MLB All-Star Game had a segment about Fortnite and the players' favorite dances. Dang, Fortnite is like that game that everybody is freaking. It's like the Minecraft, I guess, of 2018. Bobby Blackwolf also points out Baba Yetu is now the number 3 downloaded classical song on iTunes this week, so it got around. You're right. Probably, you know, it was probably labeled with it as that video was circulating the emotional porn circuit. So, yeah, I'm sure Baba Yetu got a nice little bounce thanks to that mainstream exposure. And that's part of why, like, even if you're the type where you're like, who cares about the mainstream? Or I like to go against the mainstream. That's fine. But realize that, you know, that exposure in the mainstream still goes a long way for getting coin for these people like Christopher Tin that, you know, created these songs and so forth. So let's see other stuff. Oh yeah, Kaijudo says I saw Mario Brothers represented on Dancing with the Stars. I remember that was recently. That was like a couple years, like in the past year or two. I remember seeing that too. That was pretty funny.
Yeah, but I don't like to include where it's represented and I cringe.
That's true. Let's see. Bobby Blackwell says seeing Will Wright interviewed on Colbert Report. Yeah, speaking of late night TV has been embracing that more and more. I know Jimmy Fallon, because there's
Jimmy Fallon likes games anyway.
Yeah, there's so two Olivias and there's two Jimmys. I'm also Jimmy Kimmel. Jimmy Fallon had Reggie on. Remember when the Switch was coming out? And there was that infamous thing with Miyamoto in the audience with like the thumbs down and turning to the thumbs up. That was from Jimmy Kimmel. Or Jimmy, God damn it, Jimmy Fallon.
Remember, Fallon's the one that laughed at himself.
All right. Just like me.
No, it's all right. Fallon, you know, it's funny. I couldn't stand Fallon in SNL, but when he hit late night, it was actually much better. So.
ActDeft says, not sure if related, but there was a national TV channel in Mexico that used, don't know if they still do, music from many video games in their news segments. There would be stuff from Silent Hill even in some of those. Why do you have Silent Hill music on the news? Like, that's kind of disturbing.
Today, we opened up a new...
That's what I feel about American news.
I hate that I'm laughing at that, but it's true.
Like, we've opened up a new mall. Silent Hill music. Free puppies. No.
Kaijudo pointing out Rocket League was on Black-ish. I've heard a lot of good things about that show. I haven't seen it myself yet, but I know that's on ABC and does very well. And Bob Coffey kind of piggybacking on the Mexico thing, saying Japan does that with news sometimes, and probably because video gaming probably got embedded in mainstream Japanese culture before it really got embedded in ours. Anyway, those are some good answers, you guys. Thank you. I like seeing these games, like, shows up somewhere. It's pretty cool. Anyway. Let's talk a little bit about some games that we saw this week and talk a little bit about our gaming weeks. So, Dark Soccer, I'm sure you got tons of classic games to talk about. Yeah.
I have to pull out the list.
Pull out the list. All right. It's a 3-hour show, Jamie.
Well, I was...
Actually, lately it's only been two.
I was pretty particular about what I played. So, played Beat Mania 3, the final.
Excellent.
Which, of course, but then I got mad at Dan because he tried to join in with me, which, of course, put it in co-op mode, which I hate about 5-key.
Yeah, because then you only play, like, alternating notes or something?
Yeah, or different parts of the song, so I just waited for it to fail us so I could play by myself again. And then Ray Crisis, they had a bunch of candy cabs, the Japanese cabinets, so I played Ray Crisis, which was a lot of fun. Then we went upstairs to the console room and played Streets of Rage 2 on a Sega Genesis, which was pretty fun, too. Pop and Stage, which I did have to give it a try and decided it's not for me. It just is not intuitive to play. And then I played Theatrhythm Final Fantasy All-Star Carnival, which was super fun.
I love Theatrhythm in the arcade.
Yeah, then Raiden DX, which is one of my favorite shooters, like, ever because of the purple rappy laser. Played Donkey Kong on a sit-down table, and I hate the controller on it because it's coming out horizontally instead of on a little shelf vertically, so I really don't like it. I played another game called Mamoru-kun Curse, which is like a running shooter and slightly bullet hellish, but it was really a fun game. I played another real bullet hell game that I completely bombed at called Aka v. Blue. It was pretty fun, very pretty. I like the cel-shaded style of it.
Oh, yeah, I love that game.
Yeah.
It was on the Dreamcast hardware. I forget, the Naomi hardware, I think.
I think it's newer than that.
No, you're right. It's
it's much newer than that.
Oh, I can't remember. Is it Dolphin Blue is what that was? Or because I think that's what it is in English.
No, it's basically red versus blue. Aka is red.
Maybe I'm thinking of a different game.
I'll send you a picture of what it looked like. But it was a pretty good shooter. It was just really tough. I played, they had a Dragon Ball FighterZ arcade setup, although it was the console version with arcade cabinet stuff, so... It was fun. These two guys were just like continuing over and over and over. So I made it very salty. Gee, it would be nice if other people get to play. And they both looked chagrined and, eventually got up. I played another game. Well, before that, I played Dodonpachi, which, of course, fun game. It's got an iOS release, too, although it's still expensive.
Really?
But it's so fun to say Dodonpachi, like the thing. I played Music Gun Gun. Have you seen that one?
Is that the one that's like gigantic? It's like a gigantic machine. I think I've seen it around one. Where you have like the gun, shoot in the rhythm. Yeah, that game's interesting.
That game was pretty fun. I played the new Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
It's no Point Blank.
No, but it's really fun.
Okay.
But I played the new Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, the one based off of the
Wake up, Tiger
CG.
Claw. Wake up.
The one based off the CG, kids show version. Melody and I took turns on that one because they were on the final boss rush.
Oh.
And I got a little bit tired, so she took over playing Raphael. It was pretty fun.
That's cool.
Yeah, it's a neat game.
Well, did it kind of remind you of the old one?
Yeah, that's why I like it.
Yeah,
but
cool.
Man, Raphael has no freaking range. But he did still have like the slam back and forth move. That one was pretty fun. Then I played God Plus, which I'm probably going to do that as a classic game at some point. God Plus, for those who don't know, is Galaga 3. It was renamed as Galaga 3 because people didn't realize that God Plus was the same one, which the funny thing about it is you can get this little weapon if you shoot a particular enemy that gives you like a vacuum funnel, and you can absorb some of the enemies, and then they become shooter options until they get hit. It's pretty neat. Then I played Rhythm Tengoku, which was, you know, Rhythm Heaven for those who don't know what Tengoku means by this point.
Mm-hmm.
Steel Chronicle Vic Troopers, that was another neat game. Basically, it's behind the mech that you're playing, but you have different controls. Like, you have one that controls, like, camera angle, and the other one that controls your movement with different guns and bombs and things. It was a pretty neat little battle game. I played... The only pinball I played was Hyperball, which isn't really pinball, to be honest. And then I played...
I was about to ask why you didn't play more pinball, but then I'm like, oh, yeah, she can kind of play, like, a lot of pinball at home whenever she wants.
Yeah, that's really the truth. Then I played Mushihime Tama, which isn't Mushihime-sama. It's Mushihime Tama, where you play the character from Mushihime-sama on a little, like, bubble game. Kind of a little bit of Puyo Puyo meets... I don't know. It's just like you have to drop these blobs on the same color, and you have like an arc. So you either have to do up left or down right to control how your bubbles are going to throw. You control the arc of it. So maybe a little bit of Angry Birds meets Puyo Puyo in how you have to control it. It was a neat little game. I got decently through it, and that was all I played.
All right. Sounds like you still had a very busy day. I mean,
I had a very busy day, and yeah. I bought games.
Oh, did you?
Dan and I bought some stuff.
Yeah, anything a note real quick?
Yes. I bought
like all of it.
I bought myself a copy of Dance Summit because I'm going to give Shane back his as soon as I find it.
Oh, cool.
$20, well, not bad.
That's not bad. No, for that?
No. I like to buy from Tiny Potato when I'm there. Their prices are... I'm not going to... They're fair for what they're selling.
Yeah.
But they do know the value of their stuff.
Sure.
And they're great guys.
For those that don't know, Dance Summit is Busta Move / Groove 3.
Yeah, eventually.
Basically. Yeah.
It's like the multiplayer team dance.
Yep.
And then Dan bought Shantae for Wii U.
Oh, random.
And, well... We wanted. I already had it on Switch, not on Switch, but on Steam.
Uh huh.
And then he bought Bayonetta 2 for Wii U.
Nice.
Which comes with Bayonetta 1, and right. I was like, you know, that's on Switch, right? He's like, it is.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah. But we now have it for Wii U, so whatevs.
Well, yeah, and now that the Wii U is kind of like, I wouldn't say it's completely sunsetted yet, but like, we're like 2 minutes to midnight on the Wii U here. Like, it's pretty much done. And, you know, that I think it's going to be the value of things like that kind of go up, you know what I mean, as collector's mm-hmm. items.
Well, and then I bought him something that he told me not to buy him, but I know he wanted it, and he doesn't know I bought it for him, so I left it on the bottom of the stack of games on the table.
Oh.
I bought him the Sega Ages 2500
uh-huh.
Gunstar Heroes Collection.
Oh.
That also comes with Dynamite Heady.
Uh-huh.
And some other treasure game. It's the treasure box. But I wanted to get him that so he could, and I'm going to try to convince him for us to stream Gunstar Heroes.
Right. That'll be fun.
Through the PS2. But I'm also deciding if I think I am going to do the Halo thing, if I can get my mom's rent paid for next month. So, cool. And I would have to do it from a place that's already set up to stream off Xbox.
Actually, I'm not set up for Xbox. I don't know if there's any Halos on PC that I have, but I can check that out. Okay. But I don't actually usually... I mean, it's not hard to do the Xbox.
We could set it up at mine too, but...
Yeah.
Well,
if... I'll talk to you off air.
But you've got the mic stuff set up.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'll talk to you off air because there's things and reasons why Twitch broadcasting may soon be portable. So,
okay.
All right. Anyway, let's see. Going to chat at live.vognetwork.com. Bobby Blackwell says, Wii U still has virtual console. Yes, that's true. Wii U does have virtual console. That's why I didn't say it's dead. That's why I said it's more like last call. I think that's a good way to put it as far as Wii U is concerned. Last call. ActDev says you can probably get Master Chief Collection for the Xbox One. I have it. My Xbox One just isn't set up for streaming. It's probably not that hard to get it all set up, but at the same time, you know, if we
don't
get...
have an Xbox One, and I'm not going to have one.
I thought you guys did.
No.
Oh, shoot. Okay.
We had zero reason to buy one. There's nothing really on it that was worthwhile to us.
But you guys have a 360 to stream the old Halos, if nothing else. Yeah, okay. So we can work something out. All right, cool. Let's see. Let's move on with our gaming weeks. Loki.
I didn't play much this week. I mainly played Pokemon, just to and from work. I did play a few things today because we went to Fair Game, which is a local retro game store nearby. So we played some of the arcade games there. So I played Aero Fighters 2 for briefly because my youngest son's like, play this game, play this game. I'm like, okay, I'll play this game. And then my son played on a PlayChoice 10. He wanted to play Super Mario Brothers 2 on that. I'm like, okay, that's weird. We have this at home, free. I don't know why I want to play this here. And then I play a little bit of Super Mario Bros. 3 as well. And apparently I'm very rusty when it comes to Super Mario Bros. 3. I'm like, because I was like, stand aside, I'll show you how it's done. And they immediately did not show them how it's done. I was like, damn. I am out of practice.
Did Dad let them down?
I let myself down. I was defeated.
Nice. Had anything else?
That's it. Just been mainly working in Unreal.
All right. My gaming week was also not quite as fun-filled as Jamie's just because, again, I was focusing for a performance yesterday. But I did get to play a little bit. So I'm still continuing on doing my little gold quests every day in Heroes of the Storm. So I'm still playing that. But I pretty much only do versus AI. And I had such a terrible match last night that I thought it was going to be the first time I ever... Well, maybe... I don't think it's the first time, but, like, the first time in, like, a year that I've actually lost the versus AI mode. Like, I would have been so upset. But we pulled it through in the very end, but I was getting worried. For those that play Heroes of the Storm, it was the Blackheart's Bay, and somehow the enemy team actually got, like, two or three turn-ins on the cannons, which, you know, in versus AI, like, never happens. So, anyway, it was very frustrating. But we did it. Let's see. I've been playing a lot of Lucio in that game because of the quests I've been getting. I got, like, win as a support hero, win as an Overwatch hero, then again, win as a support hero. So I've just been playing quite a bit of Lucio with that. Who makes a fun character in Heroes of the Storm? I like some of the Overwatch crossover stuff. I wonder if Wrecking Ball will show up in Heroes of the Storm, which means I did play a little bit of Overwatch. I've been doing some random heroes. Have not gotten Wrecking Ball in random heroes. I know he's in there because I see him show up on the other teams, but one match I was doing, I kept getting Mercy over and over and over again, which is fine because, you know, I can actually play Mercy, but it's when I get like Reaper. Like, it's the two characters I can't play for crap are Reaper and especially Tracer. Like, I just don't understand how to play Tracer. Like, I'm trying. I'm learning more about how, like, you kind of dart in to hit somebody in the back line and then pew, 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 and then rewind to get back to where you were. But I'm better at it with Sombra, and I really like the changes they made with Sombra because now the little invisibility and the teleportation mechanism are infinite amount of time, except the teleportation mechanism can be destroyed, but if you hide it well enough, that won't be a problem. So that's what I like to do with Sombra is run in there invisible, then make myself visible to try to get the healer in the back line or at least hack them so Mercy can't res or something, and then the minute they see me, poof, teleport out of there. So it's kind of like a similar strategy. I think I'm just better at it with Sombra than I am with Tracer. So let's see. Looking at chat over at live.vognetwork.com. Let's see. Bonds 006 says, no, Rob, I don't want any Overwatch in my Heroes of the Storm. Too late. There's like six characters from Overwatch in Heroes of the Storm, like Anna, Lucio, Zarya, Junkrat, Hanzo. Like, and I really enjoy playing Hanzo in Heroes of the Storm. But I would say he's probably the third character I get pissed off when I get in Random Heroes in Overwatch because I don't like playing with him either. but oddly, I can do Widowmaker. I just can't do Hanzo. It's weird. Let's see. And then SG100 Matt says, I can't play Tracer either. Okay, good. It's not just me. And Bonds 006 says, I target all D.Va players. She is annoying. D.Va. Yeah, D.Va's one of the few tanks that I feel like I can actually sort of play. I feel like my best tank is Orisa. I have yet to be able to play any tank as good as I can Orisa. But, yeah, I do like D.Va. D.Va's probably my second or third. In Heroes of the Storm, though, I don't like D.Va in Heroes of the Storm. I don't think she doesn't really work the same way in Heroes of the Storm. I don't like her in that game. It's just not the same. So, but I've seen other people use her well. I'm just not good with her. Anyway, other stuff I played this week. Pokemon Go as well, of course. I'm always playing that. And I think I mentioned the level 16 in Ingress. I mentioned that last show, right? Because I think that was last Friday. Okay. But I'm still playing it. I didn't stop. And I know they had a big, big Ingress thing. Like all the people that you heard on the show back in January, they were all in San Diego because they had the big live event in San Diego this weekend.
Oh, yeah, so. I got a little pop-up when I opened Ingress today.
Yeah, and I couldn't, because of Clue, again, I couldn't do anything. You know, sometimes I do behind-the-scenes support, but I couldn't do it even for this. So, but I'm glad to hear they did. My team did really well, so I was very happy to hear it. Anyway, other stuff that I did play, No Man's Sky next. So I went back to No Man's Sky this week, as I imagine a lot of you did. And if you own the game and you haven't gone back, you really should. I mean, because it's not going to cost you anything. This is not pay content. This is them trying to Diablo 3 or Final Fantasy 14, their game. They're trying to bring it back from a game that was very broken. And, well, I don't know. Actually, let me dial it back. I don't think No Man's Sky was ever, like, super broken. But clearly it was not the fully realized game that they were hyping up or that they really wanted it to be. So they were doing these patches for a little while, and then they've kind of been silent for about 9 months while they've been working on this big patch. So they put out this big patch, and now you can do multiplayer. Dark Soccer, you might be interested in this. The default view now is third person. So No Man's Sky is no longer exclusively a first-person thing. You can play in third-person, because I know you've talked about on the show before your motion sickness, where you way prefer a third-person view because you can do that better.
If I didn't have so many things on my list, I would go for it.
Yeah, I think you would get a kick out of No Man's Sky, actually. I don't know. It's hard to say. Sometimes I have a hard time judging your tastes. I would have never guessed that you would have become as obsessed with, like, Dragon Age and Mass Effect as you did. You know what I mean?
They're so fine.
Yeah, no, I'm
but it's mostly because of good character development.
Yeah, no, they do have a great story. They really do. So anyway, but unfortunately No Man's Sky doesn't really have story. It's more of like a sandbox type of thing. I mean, there is a story, but you know, technically there's a story in Minecraft too, you know what I mean? So anyway, but I'm enjoying the updates. I was doing some live streams over on my Twitch channel, Rob Roberts on Twitch, and I was doing some streams, and when I was playing one of them, Bobby Blackwolf, from VOG, ended up joining my game, and so he was able to come to my planet. So in my solar system, I started on a really crappy planet, and I think that's what this game is doing now. I think it starts you on a crappy planet on purpose so that you have to learn real quick about the basic techniques for survival. But the good news is they put in like these quick access menu that make it really easy to like feed yourself the oxygen and the sodium and the stuff that you need to kind of like for basic life support. You can feed that really easy as opposed to like having to like open up the menu, go into this. It was really cumbersome before. So they made that really easy. So you learn how to survive really quick, which I actually, even though it was kind of scary and annoying, I think it taught me the game better by doing that. So anyway, I went to another planet. It was also very toxic. But the third planet I went to, I touched down and the little planet scan shows up and it's like sentinels, not very aggressive, animal life, peaceful, weather, blissful, and everything was like, it was like, this planet is like a casual's dream, right? There's like nothing going on this planet, and it's a beautiful planet. So I named it, because I remember blissful was the term that stuck out of my mind, I named the planet Blissy. So there's this planet called Blissy in a universe that Bobby ended up naming Voglandia. So there's the planet Blissy, and so Bobby kind of like moved in on that planet. So I created a base, and apparently since I stopped, I have not logged in since I made that base. Apparently he made a base across the lake as well, so he's kind of moved in on that planet. And I know Dungeon Buster showed up, my friend Neil showed up. I don't know if they made bases too, but I know like people have been converging on Planet Blissy as kind of like, and that's kind of cool because we were able to do multiplayer, and so I was running around with Bobby, and we were trying to find the only downside to Blissy that we kind of have learned, there's like no caves. There is no natural cave system. And even if you try to make your own caves, like, we're not finding anything. Like, the planet is very flat. So we're not finding the resources we need that are usually underground. So, but we were trying to run around looking for them. And I would keep getting distracted. I'd be like, Bobby, look at this tower over here. And we'd be on our jetpacks, like, flying over there. And that was kind of cool, like, that we could go, like, explore that together. And I didn't realize, I think, how cool of a feature that was and maybe why people wanted that so bad in the beginning until I kind of experienced that. and then experienced that we would get to the tower, and then Bobby would take the item in the tower before I could get to it. So that was a whole experience that I didn't get in the original No Man's Sky. But it was fun. It was good.
Looks like it's $25 for PS4.
Yeah, I think it's been having like a half off sale since
it came
back.
If I didn't already, you know, spend $100 on video games this weekend.
I know. I hear
you.
You
might be able to find it cheap used too, because I'm sure a lot of people just said, ah, fuck this. And
yeah, it might still be out there used. It might be harder to find now because I bet people are scooping it up because of the update.
I'm fine for $25 with Prime.
I should say, though, yeah, Bobby and I are on the PS4 version of the game just because that's... I thought I did get it on PC at one point. I swear I double-dipped and got it on PC, but I don't have it on my computer. I searched. Everything is not in my Steam library, and I don't think I would have bought it on GOG. In fact, I looked on GOG. It wasn't there, and I don't think I bought it anywhere else.
GOG's not getting the update until later.
Yeah, I heard about the GOG stuff. So, but did you hear that GOG was willing to like refund anybody on that game?
Nah.
Oh, yeah. GOG came out and was like, if you're unhappy about this, we tried to work with the developer. You can refund the game, basically. So I thought that was, you know, good man GOG. Ooh.
Yeah.
So anyway, I thought I had it on PC, but I don't. Alan has it on PC. So I think what happened is that when our Steam libraries would still talk to each other, because that stopped working a long time ago, I think I might have used his copy of No Man's Sky at one point. And I think that's why I remember playing it on PC. But anyway, Dungeon Buster says, I found a cave on my second visit. Oh my gosh, I didn't know that. Planet Blissey has caves. They're just really far apart. Oh, that's good to know. You have to mark that somehow so we can find it, Dungeon Buster. Bobby Blackwell says, it only happened once. I never did it again yet in regards to us stealing from me. Anyway, so yeah, if you owned No Man's Sky at some point, you really should check it out again. I think it's worth $25. $60?
$30 on Steam.
$60? $30's a good price too. $60? I don't know. It would really depend on how you feel about the genre. Like, if you know what you're getting into, you like sandbox games, this is, you know, don't be like the people that got all pissed off when they bought this game the first time because they didn't really know what they were getting into. You know what I mean?
And I just bought it.
Did you really?
It was half price.
Oh, but you have it on PC.
No, I have it on PC.
So, but sadly you can't play with us because you're on PC, but that's okay.
Well, then I'll refund it.
I'll probably double dip. Well, you should still play. I think you'd like it. Alan's on PC. You should get him to play. So anyway. All right. If there's anyone else on PC, you should meet up with Dark Sakura. Let's see. They're talking about Pokemon. I'm like, the planet, like any Blissey, is 365 hit points and a pain in the ass to take down. There you go. Brad from Pod Culture's on PC. So I'm sure there's some people also on PC. I wish they would speak to each other, but we know how Sony is with crossplay right now, and it makes me very cross. Anyway, there you go with our gaming weeks. Some quick announcements. There will be no show the weekend of August. I'm trying to remember off the top of my head. Or does it been September? No, it'll be September 2nd at that point. There'll be no show September 2nd because I will be at Dragon Con. And I'm very excited about that. I had a great time at Dragon Con last year. And the last, 6 years I've been. So excited for Dragon Con this year. Hoping to be able to tell you guys very soon about some panels I'll be working with. And I hope to see you guys there. But there will be no show Labor Day weekend, September 2nd.
I'll be at SleepCon.
You'll be at SleepCon? NapCon?
NapCon.
Sounds like fun. Well, with a nice long weekend, you guys can do, you know, other stuff too. So, well, weren't you saying you might hit up SAC Anime? Because I know that's that same weekend. So
not this SAC Anime. I'm planning on January.
Gotcha.
I'm going to redo my Jill Valentine costume.
Oh, fun. Good times. Don't end up a Jill sandwich. All right. Let's get into some gaming news. Loki, what else happened in games this week?
All right. So this week, we had Nintendo suing pirates. Yeah, I'm surprised it's taken so long to do that. But apparently they have filed lawsuits against two ROM sites, one called Love ROMs and the other one loveretro.co, which are both operated by some guy named Jacob Mathias. And are built entirely on the brazen and mass scale infringement of Nintendo's intellectual property rights. I've never heard of these sites, and I know I don't use these sites for getting ROMs, so I'm kind of surprised that this is who they targeted first.
I think one of these sites, maybe both of them, the big difference that I noticed that probably made them a target was the fact that you could play the games right there in the browser. Like, the emulator and the game were both together. It was like an in-browser emulator.
I said I've been looking at it has the same thing.
No, so. I know. Please, it's like porn. There's ROM sites everywhere. So, you know, this is clearly some type of scare move by Nintendo. I don't know. It's weird because, look, I don't want to say, like the reality is, when you get into this whole business with ROMs, you are getting into this real gray area when it comes to legality. You
They're
know what
just
I mean?
Going to push it underground more. It's just going to go into torrents instead. You're just going to have to download the whole ROM sets instead. And they're not solving any problem. They're just kind of sweeping it under the rug, basically. It's like, oh, yeah, you're not going to eliminate piracy of your ROMs on the internet. And what's the point, even? Because you don't have your fucking virtual console anymore.
Well, they're
Switch.
Gearing up for that. We know that.
Right. Well, I'm gearing up for that announcement day now. What's it? When's it coming out again? How many weeks do we have for them to make that fucking announcement?
So here's the problem. It's the year 2018, okay? I know I have been using ROMs and NES emulators since I was in college in 1998. So, like, those things have been around for at least 20 years. And I know Nintendo has enforced some of this in the past. It's fine. But it just seems a little weird where it's like, why now all of a sudden? And as much as you're sassing what I'm saying here, I do think a part of it is because Nintendo is about to unleash Switch's version of the retro gaming, whatever it is. And so they're setting an example. They're making an example of these to try to scare other people off from it. But I don't necessarily disagree. And I don't want to come off as, oh, I completely – like, I get it. This is like a legal gray area. It's not even really a gray area. Like, you are – like, you're not supposed to be doing this. Now, where I think it is a gray area is, well, but if I bought these games, you know, but – because, you know, with the patent – having expired on the Nintendo hardware technology, something like a Retron 5, which is completely legal to loan, what is that doing? It's dumping your cartridges to a PC format and emulating there on the spot, right? So, I mean, like, with stuff I already own, it shouldn't be as big of an issue. And I understand, and I'm sure there's going to be those of you who want to play Devil's Advocate in chat are like, no, that's still legal. But look, I get it. But I don't know. There's also something about kind of like what you were alluding to, where it's like, how much money is Nintendo really losing on this whole thing?
They're
especially for people that just want to play games that they already
probably
own.
Probably less money than they spent on lawyers for this. Yeah,
it's hard to tell. I don't know. Like, when it comes to emulating games, I find also that nothing really beats the real thing. Now, granted, I like the classic NES. I like the Virtual Console. I realize those are emulated, but nothing really beats the real thing.
I've downloaded the whole Nintendo ROM set like dozens of times, and I still buy their shit on Virtual Console. The only person that's keeping money out of Nintendo's pockets right now is Nintendo, because you're not providing me a way to give you money for the game that I want. So why are you going after these ROM sites? No one's. It's not like you, hey, put out the Virtual Console and nothing's selling because everybody's just downloading ROMs for free. That's not what's fucking happening. What's fucking happening is you're not selling the games in the first place. I can't give you the money, Nintendo. Why do you hate money so much?
Do you think part of it has to do with the classic NES hacking? Just throwing it out there.
They should have fixed it when either the Super NES came out or when they re-released the NES. They could have fixed that shit, but they didn't.
Let's be real, Loki. A, we all know hackers are going to hack. They're never going to fix them. B, if those things are running on Linux, that's especially so, that they were never going to fix those things. As long as they were running Linux, people were always going to be able to backdoor their way into those things and put whatever they want on them, which, interestingly enough, I still haven't done with my classic NES. I haven't decided if that's something I want to do or not.
You should. It's super easy.
I know. But I don't know. Part of me kind of likes that it's as like a collectible. It's untouched. It's the way it is, because if I want to play any of that other stuff, I have it all on PC because I got it years ago. You know what I mean? But I don't find that I play a lot of that stuff on PC. Like, when I go through my emulator collection on PC, I'll play something for like 5 minutes and I'll be like, cool, next. You know, I don't really play those games as start to finish.
You don't have like the NES controller to actually play stuff.
True.
You could just hack it. and you wouldn't even notice it. You just push in Guardian Legend. You wouldn't even notice that anything's different. It looks exactly the same. It's just now you have Guardian Legend in there.
Bonds 006 in chat says, Rob wants to keep his collection a virgin for as long as possible. Keep it pure, Rob. That's right. I don't want your dirty internet hands touching my daughter. Brad from Pod Culture also says it's a super easy to, I guess, hack those things. So Brad from Pod Culture suggests you sneak in and hack it while I'm away at Dragon Con. Now, that's mean. No touching my stuff while I'm not here. Maybe, you know, Brad, I'm going to take my classic NES to Pod Culture, if I take it to him, he'll hack it. I'm going to take my classic NES to Dragon Con because it is small enough to fit in that thing just so Loki can't touch it.
I am not driving over here to hack that thing. It's not a thing that is on any sort of priority.
All right. Let's move on and talk about changes, another change in gaming. And this kind of has to do with something that's been an argument, I guess, for the past year or so. And that has to do with loot boxes. Well, Turn 10, the developer of Forza Motorsport 7, has announced that prize crates will be being removed from Forza Motorsport 7. This is a game that is already out. They're going to take out the prize crates. Right now, cars are completely out of the prize crates. There are no competitive advantage to them. There are now only cosmetic items like driver gear and badges and mods that can increase rewards in single player. There used to be cars that were exclusive in prize crates. Those can now be bought normally. What's interesting, though, I think what makes this a little bit different is that the prize crates were never on sale for real money in the game's marketplace. It looked like it was all set up for that, but something stopped them from turning that on. I wonder what that could have been at the end of last year when Forza Motorsport came out.
I don't know.
But they never turned on selling these things for real money. So instead, I'm assuming the prize crates must be things that you can like kind of win from in-game rewards.
Well, here's what you have to do.
Stuff.
You have to look at one thing. One, is your game free to play? No? Then get that shit out of that fucking game.
All right. They're going a step further, though, now that even though they're not selling these things anymore, they are just getting rid of them. Also, paid tokens will not be in Forza Motorsport 7 or Horizon 4. So even if you don't play the mainline Forza games, maybe you play the Horizon spinoff games.
When's Horizon 4 coming out again?
October. I know. I'm excited, too. I'm really excited about that.
To register participation for this week's episode of Orange Lounge Radio at VogNetwork.com, use the passphrase SIDE.
So, Forza Horizon 4 will be coming out in October, and these will not be a part of that. So they're learning their loot box lesson now so that Forza Horizon can be pure. Isn't that nice?
Well,
isn't that refreshing?
Good for doing the right thing. I'm not patting you on the back, though, for it, because you should have fucking been doing this all along.
Bobby in our chat over at live.vognetwork.com confirms it's October 2nd is the day it comes out. That's even
Hooray.
Earlier. Hooray. I love me
so
some
Forza.
So
if we're still disappointed by Nintendo's announcement, we still have Horizon 4.
That's right. There's still something to look forward to.
At least someone's got our back.
On the horizon.
I'm not even going to.
Next up on the horizon, Dark Sakura.
Well, there are going to be some new arcade cabinets released for old games. They are from Arcade 1UP, and they will have different games featured for each package. There's going to be a Centipede cabinet that has Centipede, Millipede, Missile Command, and Crystal Castles. So I guess all the trackball games. An Asteroids cabinet that has Asteroids, Tempest, Major Havoc, and Lunar Lander. Then one with Rampage, Defender, Joust, and Gauntlet. Then a Street Fighter II Championship cabinet, which is Street Fighter II Championship Edition. Super Street Fighter 2 New Challengers and Super Street Fighter 2 Turbo. And then the Final Fight cabinet, which is Final Fight, 1944, The Loop Master, Ghosts and Goblins, and Strider. They're about 400 a pop, and they are 3/4 size of the original cabinets. And they will come with a cabinet riser and a potential stool.
And you have to build them. They're like IKEA for arcade cabinets.
Yeah, I mean, it's like a lot of furniture.
But they look pretty good.
Yeah. So I imagine they're kind of like this. I mean, I sorry, you guys, it's a radio show, but I imagine they're kind of like this thing that we have in studio, which was at Loki's old work. I imagine they're kind of like that.
They're more like
that's a bar top cabinet, though. It's an actual stand-up
cabinet. Have you seen the smaller cabinets that they have at California Extreme?
I actually haven't.
They look like they're for small teenagers.
Yeah.
That's about the size.
Interesting. Okay.
They're probably about 5 foot.
Yeah. I don't know. Like, I would almost be interested in getting one, but the price is a little high. You know, it's hard to justify.
$400 for a full
arcade
cabinet. I don't think that's with a 17-inch LCD monitor.
Yeah, that's true. And that's the monitor that probably makes the price so high. You know what I mean? It's basically a television.
I don't see why it's high at all. Because you can, to buy a full-size arcade cabinet, sometimes without the monitor, is still somewhere between $300 to... you know, 700, depending on the cabinet.
Yeah, I guess
that's
true.
And that's one game.
Maybe I'm also thinking, like, about space, just from the perspective of, again, because this thing is here, and just in general, I really don't... It's kind of like the same conundrum I have with pinball machines in here. As much as I would love to own my own pinball machine, I'm like, there's no space.
Keep in mind, a pinball, you're looking in the thousands.
Oh, yeah. No, I know that. I know that. So, I don't know. It's one of those things where it's like, if I had more of that space and the desire, I might do it. Especially that Final Fight cabinet sounds like
the
best one.
The one with Strider on it. Yeah.
Yeah, the one with Strider on it. That sounds like the best one for sure. So.
Then again, I already have an Ultracade, so.
Do you kick it?
Sometimes.
Okay, good. All right. Well, I think it is a neat little collection thing. It is interesting, too, how like Walmart is selling these. And, like, Walmart has been in, like, the classic arcade business.
Crap, I left your little games again.
No, that's fine. But, like, and so there's the itty-bitty way. Those are, like, keychain itty-bitty games, right? Or how big are those?
Well, no. The ones I got you were about half as tall.
Okay.
As those.
And so she's pointing at, the $20 ones that were, like, the tiny little cabinets that there are out there, too, with, like, Cuber and Asteroids and stuff. So, yeah, so it's like Walmart is like in this classic retro arcade biz all of a sudden. It's very interesting. So, going to chat over at live.vognetwork.com. Dark Tetsuya says Walmart is only $300. I guess that's what they do, is undercut everybody else. Dark Tetsuya says, I think they're a little bit bigger than the bar top. The risers are supposed to help. These will work right out of the box after you put them together. Getting a cabinet off Craigslist, you might get a mostly working machine. It is, I will say, though, it is still my dream someday to own a baby Pac-Man machine. That is still, like, the thing that I want more than anything. So, all right. Well, let's move on with some more news. Loki.
All righty. So, IntiCrate is actually looking at, they want to remake Zelda 2. And you may remember them from such wonderful games on the Nintendo platforms like Blaster Master Zero, or they also had, they also did the Bloodstained Curse of the Moon thing that was on there in Mighty Gunvolt. So
they did Mighty Number 9, too. Yeah, it was them.
Yeah, unfortunately.
it's okay.
But everything else is good, so that's fine. But apparently, you know, saying that, yeah, he would love to make a new adventure of Link for the modern era.
One that doesn't play like crap.
Yeah, hopefully.
I'm sorry, I don't like Zelda 2. Dan really likes it, though.
But I'd be cool, like, with a game that didn't suck, that was that style, like a... I don't know.
I like Zelda 2. I think... I get it's different. I get why it puts people off. I totally get why it puts people off. But I really like it for what it is. And I would so be on board with IntiCreate getting it. But I just don't think... Nintendo is... Well, I'm about to say, Nintendo is never going to let another company touch one of their biggest properties. But as those words leave my mouth, I then remember Metroid Other M. I then remember, well, heck, that latest Metroid game. Mm-hmm. You know, so, like, it's not like it's that uncommon. But just, like, Nintendo letting someone else make a Zelda? I don't know
That's
about
not
that.
Gonna happen.
I know. I'm just like, ooh.
But didn't Capcom
I would love to see it.
Didn't Capcom help with like one of the Four Swords adventures or something like that? Or I thought that like they had other
They've had third parties do things.
Third party, yeah.
But I think it was reaching out to the third parties for that.
Well, reach out. It's not like, you know, more Zelda games would be a terrible thing.
Well, I just want to see what NT Creates is going to be working on next, because I think they've been doing some great stuff. Obviously, I love that Blaster Master Zero. That was a great, you know, especially because I was worried about Blaster Master because, you know, some of the other reimaginings have not been so great. I think they really did a good job with that one. So I'll you know what? If they want to try their hand at Zelda 2, what's the worst that could happen? It can't possibly be as bad as Zelda 3DO.
Exactly. I know that. Listen, that was a long time ago. I think you learned your lesson with, you know, licensing that out to third parties on other systems and also movie licensing rights. But it's a different decade now. I mean, we can put that all behind us and try again.
It's a new decade. Let's come together and try to do this again. All right. Well, also for a new decade, we are having a popular music game from some people. For some people, I don't know if everybody's ever experienced this game, but it's a game called Taiko no Tatsujin. This is was once released here in the States as Taiko Drum Master, because that's what Taiko no Tatsujin means. I think it was released on the Wii. I want to say, as Taiko Drum Master. Does that sound right, you guys? I think so. Well, it's going to be coming out again. Taiko no Tatsujin Drum Session and Taiko no Tatsujin Drum and Fun. They're going to come out for PS4 and Nintendo Switch. And I think one is for PS4, the other is Nintendo Switch. They're going to come out, actually, in Western and European territories. So we're going to get a localized release of these games on November 2nd. And that's pretty cool. There's a whole little post on the PlayStation blog about it. They're going to bring in some songs from some things you might have heard of, like Neon Genesis Evangelion, Vocaloid producers. I'm assuming that means Hasune Miku. Disney favorites from Zootopia and Frozen. Although, if Let It Go is one of the songs, I will probably put a hole in my drum. So, I don't know about that. But anyway, also songs from other Namco properties like Tekken, the Tales series, Idolmaster. You know what's missing from that list? Katamari Damacy. Just saying. Anyway, the PS4 has ranked mode, and there will be motion controls in the Nintendo Switch version. Although, honestly, if there is not a physical drum, don't do it, because the whole, like, waving the Wiimotes around, I realize we're in, like, HD motion detection now and this stuff. It's just, it's not going to be the same. It's not going to be the same if it's not a tangible drum. Anyway, no word on if the controller peripheral is coming out in the West. So if there's no official controller, you may just have to play this on PlayStation 4, like, with X's and O's. And that, I don't know if that would be the same. Anyway, apparently Bandai Namco did confirm later in the week there is no set plan to bring that drum controller to North America. Pfft. I don't know, guys. That kind of loses a lot of it for me. Anyway, it will have a physical release in America on both PS4 and Switch, digital only in Europe. So it will not, although you'll get a localized version, you'll only be able to get it on the store, which is, I mean, kind of like how they released DJ Max on PS4 over here. So there you go. Anyway, let's move on to a different sort of story, but something a little more positive. Right, Dark Sakura?
There was a study that was conducted at Harvard Medical School in 2017 that was released that talks about how loneliness can be more detrimental to your health than smoking would be, and talked about increasing the relationships through your friends and family members through games. And it was even saying that video games contribute to that as well. They also found out that the games have the ability to change your brain structurally and functionally. It can promote neurogenesis, which is the growth of new neurons, and neuroplasticity, which is the change in neural pathways and synapses. You know, basically, it keeps your brain alert and functioning well. They were also showing in another study in 2017 that was published in Frontiers in Human Neuroscience that gamers who got together to play games like Baduk or Go had an increase in their gray matter and a decrease in the, I'm going to mispronounce this, amygdala, which I guess is a good thing. But basically, the gray matter increase in the nucleus accumbens leads to more positive experiences and enthusiasm. The decrease in gray matter in the amygdala leads to stress reduction and an increased calmness. But also, especially with action video games, they found that it increased your gray matter and functional connectivity in other regions of the brain, especially into the cerebral cortex, which is responsible for self-awareness and present moment awareness. So basically, it leads to better decision-making and better intuition. Board games are really good for increasing strength in the hippocampus and the prefrontal cortex, which usually improve cognitive functions that affect IQ, memory, and information retention and problem solving. So basically, playing games of strategy and playing video games help increase your memory, increase your mood for the most part, and also can functionally affect your brain biologically.
But can they make you as cool as smoking cigarettes?
Stop it now. Stop.
Well, one of the other things, too, is that playing collaborative games improves your computational thinking, including skills affecting logic, distributed processing, debugging, and simulation and algorithm building. So basically, collaborative strategy games will increase your ability to code. Or pick up coding.
Yeah, you know, and I remember when I...
Loki, play more Risk.
Well, I remember when I was younger. Maybe some of these tricks we use on young children can also work on Loki. Who knows? Mm-hmm. But I remember when I was younger, like, you know, when Apple IIe's and Commodore 64's were all the rage. All the schools had Apple IIe's, right? That was like the school computer. Mm-hmm. And they would actually have, like I don't know if it was, like, the Parks and Rec or if it was, like, some type of summer school thing. But I remember they would have, like, nighttime classes on learn how to, like, do basic programming on an Apple IIe. I think a lot of it, I want to say, was Logo. Now, I'm sure, and not to be confused with a television network that brought us RuPaul's Drag Race. That's something very different. But Logo was a programming language, like in the 80s, that was on like Apple IIe. And I think they made versions of it for other things as well. And it was the whole thing where you had like the turtle. It was a graphics drawing program, right? So you would do things like, and I don't remember all the instructions. Some of you guys probably remember this better. But it was like pen down, forward 30. Turn 90, and it was like you turn the angle. But like what you could do is you could build, like, I think there was maybe like if then, or there were ways to build loops so that when you wrote a certain thing, you could actually build like a spirograph sort of thing where you, like, you get the turtle to turn a certain degrees, draw a square, he would make these really pretty shapes, and you could like have it change the colors doing the shape. And so that's what I did when I was like 7 years old, that kind of like taught me about programming, and I feel like some of that made me more smarter.
Well, here's the other good thing, though, about video games in particular, is that they're actually showing that video games can help with children with dyslexia.
Hmm.
And also other benefits. The big thing is increased, increase metacognition. So basically, metacognition is thinking about thinking and part of meditation. And they were showing that for children and adults, but mostly children, who would play games and then meditate and follow these in certain cycles, actually found other increase in not just their cognition, but in their joy in participating in things. So really, I find it very fascinating. You know, we have this camp who likes to make video games the scapegoat for everything. But in the long run, though, playing these games are actually kind of good for you. Who said more smarter?
I did. I was making it funny. I said learning all that stuff at a young age made me more smarter. It's just you missed the joke because you were focused on your story.
Well, also.
Yeah. So anyhow, but Loki's response in chat said, "I know it's smarter-er." I should have said more smarter-er. All right. Anyway, in all seriousness, look at some comments in our chat.
Although less dumb is legit to tell someone not to be, or to tell someone to be. All right. Like, world, be less dumb.
Loki, be less dumb. All right. Bobby Blackwolf in chat, who's not dumb at all, says the TI-85 calculator had a similar drawing system to the Logo. There's another great thing from I remember from younger.
I had a friend program Pole Position.
Oh, yeah. You could do like mini games. I remember there was a Tetris one floating
around. Assembly
on
that son of a bitch.
Those things were powerful little things.
Powerful little fuckers, weren't they?
Yeah, they sure were. And
expensive.
They were expensive, especially at the time.
I can only afford an 82.
I feel
I
like...
I have a TI-85 somewhere because I had to have it for, not chemistry, but algebra.
Do they still make TI-85s? I feel like they probably do.
Yep. They do.
Yeah. So they're probably, and they're probably like $20 now when
nope.
Oh, really?
No, they're still expensive. Hold on, I'll get you the price.
Really? I would have thought maybe because of the technology and everything.
Mm-mm. It's because they have a hold on that math market, and so it's like, you pay up, fuckers. Game Boy games ain't free anymore.
Okay, I take that back. People are selling them for about $20 to $9 on eBay. Woo! I think that's been replaced by the TA. I want to say by a different TI, because I had a different, maybe a TI-87 was the one I had. Mm-hmm. Let me look real quick.
I had an 82, and that was, and I remember I had to try to build a serial cable for it. And that was not fun.
Bobby Blackwolf in chat says, TI still corners the market on graphing calculators. So I'm sure they must have some sort of patent or something that allows them to kind of do that. You know what I mean?
I think, though, nowadays, though, I'd imagine that that would be coming down. Because couldn't you just download an app for your phone to do the same damn shit?
Well, okay, here's the thing. TI-84s, okay, that was the one I had in college. The problem with it is that, and I even asked my teacher about that, because the iPhone has a graphing calculator built into it. But you can also use your iPhone for many other things, including looking up answers and using automatic tools. So they always had us put away our phone and bust out the graphing calculator.
I get it. So you can use a graphing calculator on a test, but you can't use a phone on a
test.
Or you can write all your notes with the graphing calculator.
Yeah, I was going to say, if you put pole position on a graphing calculator, you could probably
put the internet.
But I think the average Wi-Fi. Person doesn't know how to do it. Yeah, and right now the TI-84 graphing calculator is about $90.
It's actually Bob Coffee in chat says it's not a patent, it's educational contracts. Interesting. Isn't that how Apple got through some of its darkest years too, like pre-iPhone, iTunes and all that? Like, was because it's educational contracts, like the fact that they were in every school, every institution really kind of kept them going through some of the darker years. Of the company, I
think
so. This
is crazy. Texas Instruments stock is at $112.
Wow.
So they're clearly doing something right.
Huh. Yeah, by not giving away tickets to movies.
Interesting. So Bobby points out Apple and TI did do the same thing with educational contracts. He also said, and he brought up the same point that we eventually got to, that they won't let their kids have a phone out during the test, but I still programmed equations into my TI-85. The program was named ZZZ. I was sneaky. Well, Bobby Blackwell, if a true nerd, would have named it ZZT.
Holy
just saying.
Crap. I'm actually on the Texas Instruments website.
Uh-huh.
And the TI-89 titanium,
uh-huh.
Holy crap, it actually does wireframe.
And you can kill a man with it.
Girl.
TI-89 titanium? That sounds like one of the weapons in the movie Last Night.
And they have a color one now called the TI-Inspire.
Oh, my God.
It's just absolutely crazy.
I don't
it's got CAD built in.
You tell me what other gaming podcast devolves into a conversation on graphing calculators.
Oh, I'm sure there's plenty.
You find it.
I'm sure there's plenty.
All right.
This week, we're focusing on the Texas Instrument.
I think next year, Dark Soccer should do the classic calculator of the month.
Girl.
All right.
This week, it's Casio watch calculator.
Oh, my God. Okay. We could fill 12 months of calculators.
We could.
Because you could totally have the Casio watch. Oh, my God. That takes me fucking back. The Casio watch calculators. And then I remember the one that looked like a little professor. Do you guys know what I'm talking? There was like a professor calculator. It looked like a little dude with a mustache. Somebody's got to know what I'm talking about.
This time, we're doing your parents' calculator. That's right. It's the slide rule.
An abacus.
You know, abacus. Yeah.
You know what I could do, though?
A speak in math.
Classic computer of the month.
Okay.
I'll start off with the IBM 486.
All right, I'm loving it. Anyway, in the meantime, we got to get to some more news so we can get to the actual classic game of the week. But how about a new game first, Loki?
Yeah, I'm actually kind of excited about this. I don't really care for the Labo stuff because, well, okay, I take that back. I don't care for the price of the Labo stuff is what I really meant to say. But they have a new Labo set that's going to be coming out. And this one's basically about driving or vehicles or whatever. So you can build three separate vehicles with it. And they have like this different key that goes in there. So there's like a driving one that actually has a foot pedal. There's like a submarine thing and an airplane joystick. and that should be coming out. I don't know when the date is on that, but the trailer is pretty cool. And we don't know the price yet, but I'm assuming it's going to be around the same price, either $69 or $79. But neat. Oh, September. That's right. September is supposed to be coming out.
Just for the record, Dark Tetsuya found it, because that's what our live listeners do. The calculator was called the Little Professor. It was a little Professor was the name of it. And his little hat is that, what did they call the screens that were like the red glowing LED? Were they LED?
LCD.
Evil.
LCD. Yeah, but they were red and glowing and looked
pure
evil.
Pure evil.
Yeah.
That's what they're called, was pure
They
evil.
Used to make alarm clocks out of those back in the day. And it was like, it's 6 a.m., you're going to go to hell. Like, that's what things look like in the dark.
The Virtual Boy.
Yes.
They still sell those.
What, Little Professors?
No, the clocks.
Oh,
like that.
Really?
Oh,
my gosh.
I have one for my son. All right. Yeah, both my kids have those.
Scare them young.
Well,
all
no,
right.
they're blue. I mean, they're not red.
Well, speaking of amazing computers, and it's almost like we planned it this way, the Commodore 64 Mini is coming to the U.S. Woohoo!
Woo.
Very cool about this. So the C64 Mini is going to be loaded with, ready for this, 64 classic titles.
Where did they pull that number out of the hat?
Remember just last week on this show when you couldn't remember how much memory was in a Commodore 64, Loki?
I didn't have a Commodore 64.
64 kilobytes, Loki.
That 64 could have meant anything.
Anyway.
It could have been the speed. It could have been anything.
All right, be quiet. Some of the notable titles include California Games, Winter Games, Impossible Mission 2. Oh, I hope the first one's there, too. Boulder Dash, Jumpman, Pit Stop 2, Speedball 2, Street Sports Baseball, Summer Games 2, The Temple of Apshai Trilogy, Iridium. Like, I know some of you guys are like, I've never heard of this shit. Those are all fucking classics that I just named right there. Amazing, amazing list of games there. So, of course, it all connects via HDMI. And I guess right now, October 9th is the date that they're targeting, and you can get more details at thec64.com. And if I remember right, you can still, because it actually is like a full functional keyboard and everything, you can still use these like they are a Commodore 64. So, yeah, they say complete with a fully working version of C64 Basic and a USB joystick. So I can actually start to write programs. I don't know how it's going to save or any of that stuff. And I'm sure somebody's already figured it, because I think this thing's already been out in Europe where the Commodore 64 was even bigger. I'm sure somebody's thought of a way to, like, load their own C64 disk images onto this thing. There's got to be. So I can play, like, the C64 games that I loved that nobody else loved, like the Dragon's Lair games. I'm telling you, the Dragon's Lair games, there was two of them. And it's nothing like the Dragon's Lair arcade game, because obviously the arcade game was too strong graphically. But the music in those games are some of my favorite chip tunes, like, ever in, like, the C64 era. Anyway. Bobby Blackwolf in chat says, you don't even have to hack it. They tell you exactly how to do it. A new firmware update will allow you to have more than just one D64 file. Well, that's pretty awesome. Especially because I think one reason they kind of have to do this is that those disk images, like those magnetic disks, are like eroding over time. Like, those disks are not holding up all these years later. So are we going to be able to run GEOS on this? You know what GEOS is? It made your Commodore 64 look just like a early Macintosh. Early, because it was like graphic evolution something operating system. Graphic enhanced operating system, GEOS.
Let's give it a GUI.
Anyway.
The only game I ever played on the Commodore 64 was Kickstart. It was a motorcycle racing game.
Oh, man. I'm so excited. I can't wait for this to come out, because then I'm going to be hooking it up and like streaming all the things on Twitch. I'm so excited because I love Commodore 64. Anyway, the classic game of the week, however, Darksoccer is going to dip into the gaming archives. Sadly, not from the Commodore 64, but there's just so many things to pick from, you know? So Darksoccer has picked a mighty fine choice this week. I'm assuming it's got to be something that came from California Extreme. I don't know.
No.
Maybe. No?
Not.
Oh, wow. Usually you pick something that got inspired from that. All right, well, then let's get to it.
I already had an idea to do this one. I just put it off.
All right. So every week you jump into the vault and find a game that the kids should be playing this week. Darksoccer, what should the kids be playing this week?
I picked Captain Commando.
Fuck yes! That game is awesome.
Yes, it is. And Capital. What people may not realize is that Captain Commando was supposed to have been the mascot for Capcom during that particular period. There had been earlier incarnations of him that eventually morphed into the character we had in the video game. So it came out in 1991. It was a futuristic side-scrolling beat-em-up, and it was released on the CP system. That was actually the 17th title on the CP system. And he was conceived, again, as their spokesperson to use in the late 80s. So basically, you have four characters in this beat-em-up. You have Captain Commando, who is the leader of the team. You have, in the U.S., I'm going to do the U.S. names and the Japanese names. Mac the Knife, who is also named Jannetty in the Japanese version, who is a mummy commando from outer space. He has this spinning attack. He's pretty fun. And, of course, the U.S. name came after the song, That's Mac the Knife. Anyway, Ginzu the Ninja, who was called Sho in the Japanese version, is a ninja, the successor to the Bushinryu Ninpo, who... Actually, that same style was used by Guy in Final Fight. So, there you go. And then Babyhead, also known as Hooba, Hoover. Basically, Baby Commando is a genius infant who fights in a robot that he designed. He has knee rockets. That's all you need to know. But he's a baby driving a mecha. So anyway, it is basically, it plays a lot like Final Fight. It is a beat-em-up. You have up to four players at the same time. You can choose any of the four commandos, and you know each person has a different one. So the control configuration is just like Final Fight with an eight-way joystick. You can move left or right or toward or away, and the buttons for attacking and jumping. You also can pick up health restoring items. You can pick up, you can beat up destructible objects. And you can get bonus items and weapons. So, yeah, the early Captain Commando looked like, he honestly looked like he was from the 70s. He had, like, white flowing hair and gold chains around his neck and this disco-looking outfit. And then later on in the 80s, he looked like, you know, the 80s spaceman.
And because ice... Huh? Is cold.
Damn those mid,
some freaking in-stream ad popped up and I didn't even notice
you
it.
You put it on the ad blocker.
They don't always work anymore.
I don't like it for YouTube.
Anyway.
Yeah, the ad block for YouTube works. Hmm. But anyway, many of Capcom's early titles on the NES featured Captain Commando on it between 1986 and 1989. 1942, Commando, Ghosts and Goblins, Mega Man, Trojan, Section Z, and Gunsmoke. All released as part of the Captain Commando Challenge series and had him on the back of the packaging in his futuristic space hero ray gun outfit with his medallion that said, you know, C on each of them. Very disco. And then the revised version, the one that looked, you know, more like a comic, you know, it was almost like a G.I. Joe character but futuristic. Was in the 1989 lineup, like Strider, Mega Man 2, Willow, and DuckTales. So it's the pilot suit fighter jet style. And there was also a message on the artwork that said to the reader to look to him for up-to-date reports for all exciting action games from Capcom, including his signature. So other releases of Captain Commando, we had on the Super NES. It came out in 1995. It's only a two-player one. It shows fewer enemies on screen and doesn't have the mech suit. It also is censored. The PlayStation port came out in Japan on September 17, 1998 by New Ink. Has up to three players with a multiplayer using a multiplayer adapter. Then we also had the CPS game, the full original version, and Capcom Classics Collection Remix for PSP, and Capcom Classics Collection Volume 2 for PS2 and Xbox in 2006. They were going to do a Sega CD version. It was announced but never released. It was canceled. As for the Captain himself, he was a playable character in Marvel vs. Capcom, and that was in 1998. And he had a transformation sequence that had him going from a cowboy outfit before going into superhero. He had his attacks from the game, and his victory quotes are random Capcom trivia. You know, as a tribute to his, you know, old stuff. He was also in Marvel vs. Capcom 2, also in Capcom World 2, Capcom Cross, Namco Cross Capcom Project X Zone 2, and SNK vs. Capcom Card Fighters Flash. He was also in the Udon Comics, a two-volume manga that came out that was, translated and published by Udon. But also the other thing is that the other commandos did show up in Marvel vs. Capcom for one of his Hyper Combo finishes. So, the Super Famicom game got a 21 out of 40 for Famicom Tsuchin. The arcade game is listed as one of the top 21 beat-em-up games by Heavy.com. And there you go, Captain Commando. Awesome game.
I used to go back as a child because, you know, we used to go ride around on our bikes in the local, you know, town to go play the different arcade games that were everywhere. So they had, you know, of course, the Street Fighter II at the 7-Eleven, but there was a cafe that had Captain Commando, and we'd go there and just play that all the way through and then get hamburger. I love that game.
All right. There it is, your classic game of the week, Captain Commando.
Did you ever play it, Rob?
No, I never have, believe it or not.
Weren't the mechs that were in this, weren't those also in Mega Man X as well? Because I remember they had like different elemental mechs.
Similar.
You know, and what's interesting too is that even though I never played that game, I remember the Captain Commando being like the Capcom mascot for like a real hot minute in like some of the early NES manuals on, you know, Capcom's
bring
games.
It back. Hey, NT Create. If Nintendo says no to Zelda, how about a new Captain Commando?
Captain Commando for Smash.
I'd be down for that shit. He was in Marvel vs. Capcom 2, and it's fucking awesome. You know, I always used to play as Captain Commando.
You know the latest big rumors? Of course, there's always going to be rumors about Smash characters, so take it with a gigantic... Take it with like all of the salt.
Waluigi? They're going to add Waluigi because everyone's been bitching about Waluigi?
No, apparently two more that are going to be revealed soon. Isabelle... Which makes sense. I mean, that one makes total sense. Like, Isabelle is the subject of many interesting memes in Japan and here, too. So Isabelle would make a lot of sense. Simon Belmont, the other one, I guess, that they're talking about.
Well, he was in that that Nintendo 64 Smash game, so...
Yeah, who knows? Who knows? Anything's possible.
Snake's first appearance in a Smash game, too, that I don't remember what it was called. But they also had Optimus Prime in that game, and that was awesome. Was it Dream Something TV? I don't remember the name of it, but...
I'm not going to hold my breath on any of these news or rumors.
Barbie was in that too. Barbie for Smash.
Barbie for Smash. Heck yeah. All right. Anyway, we're going to take a break while we contemplate all the characters we want to be in Smash. When we come back, we have some rapid fire news. We're going to talk about release dates, your emails, and more stories. So don't go anywhere, folks. We will be right back. Welcome back, everybody, to Orange Lounge Radio Live tonight, episode number 739 of our show, already in progress for tonight, July 29th of 2018. We have some more news to get into. We're going to get into rapid fire news here shortly, but Darkstalker, I believe you're going to be taking off, right?
Yeah, I actually spent most of yesterday with a headache at the event, and then I came home with an even worse headache, and it's been growing again today, so... It's drive now and be safe to drive or sleep on your couch and not go to work tomorrow. So
we can always stay on the couch if you need to, but I understand you want to, you got to go home so you can go to work. So, all right. Well, thank you as always for being here. Any final thoughts for our listeners?
Strawberry rhubarb pie is delicious.
It is pretty delicious. All right. Feel better. Okay.
Also, it's so weird looking at you right now.
Why? Without my beard?
Yeah.
It's been that way for like a month, but it's well, now that yesterday's
done. It's very clean right now.
Because I was kind of like, I would let it get a little scruffy and then be like, oh yeah, I got to take it
out. You look a little bit like you've waxed.
No, I didn't go that far. So yesterday...
I know some queens who wax.
If you guys didn't know, I think I made this pretty clear. I did the production of Clue. I played Mrs. Peacock. And it all kind of ties into, if you know the movie, in the one of the endings, they go, just like the Mounties, we always get our man. Mrs. Peacock was a man. Slap, you know, that thing. So that was the joke, right? And I'd seen like a drag performance of Mrs. Peacock like 10 years ago, and I always thought it was like the funniest thing I ever saw. So I was like, okay, I want to do it for this show. But I fully committed. So, you know, I shaved my face, so the red beard's gone. So I just shaved yesterday morning was probably when I last shaved. Yeah. But then I don't know if you also noticed, look at this, I shaved my legs. because I tried to do the stocking trick, but it didn't work.
No.
So, and the stocking trick is that you wear multiple pairs of stockings, but it just wasn't happening. But you'll notice I only shaved them up to here where the dress came down to. I don't
But you got to admit, shaved legs do feel pretty nice.
No, I hate it.
Really? Yeah. Really?
I don't know. I don't know
well,
if it's
I've never liked like stubble on my arms or my legs, because I shave my arms too.
Yeah.
And I don't like the way the wind feels.
I did that as well, but I cheated a little bit because it didn't really grow all back when I did it 2 weeks ago. So I kind of kept that. And it's the same thing with my chest. Mm-hmm. Like I shaved it 2 weeks ago and it didn't grow back enough. So I kind of didn't redo it yesterday. So, yeah.
But I mean, it's just a sensitivity thing for me. But if I'm going to like not wear jeans, then I like for to not have hair to get caught in wind or anything.
Yeah, no. And that's the weird thing now is wearing jeans. It's like I feel weird in this area where I
how that feels, because it's like clean.
But let the record show, I am fully committed to my
art.
You are
committed.
Because, you know, drag is not something I usually do, okay? I know if there's a lot of stereotypes out there that's what all gay guys do for fun on Friday nights. That's so not true, just being clear. But I did it for a performance for the laughs. And, you know, it seemed to go over really well. I got a lot of really positive feedback last night and just some really, like, nice things.
I was very impressed with your royal leg slant.
Oh,
the picture on the couch.
Oh yeah, when I was sitting on the couch. Well, because my heels were. But yes, I did the royal legs because she's not crossing her legs in the movie.
Right.
Remember when you shadow cast? You had to, but at the same time, I didn't want to show because I wasn't wearing much under that dress, and I did not go that fully committed to my drag art. But we'll leave it at that.
For that era, though, that the movie was supposed to represent, however, it was considered a more wanton thing for a woman to cross her legs.
Yeah.
So that actually was period correct.
So, okay. So, yeah. So, I did the whole, like, slanting instead so that you couldn't see up my dress. Perverts.
You were like Princess Kate.
Well, especially when you're on that stage elevated. So, like, your crotch is at eye level for everybody. Like, I had to be very, like, thinking about that. And I felt kind of bad for Yvette, because Yvette dies on that billiard table.
Uh-huh.
And it's like, you can see London and France. Now, she was prepared for it, so she had enough, you weren't going to see nothing, but it was still, I was
she
like,
should have
geez.
Either had frilly pantalon, you know.
She did.
Or really colorful underwear.
No, she had, I told her to draw teeth on it, but she didn't. Anyway. All right.
Well, yeah, I'm going to go before the drugs wear off.
Okay, good. Yeah, the chat is going, Bonds 006 says, OLR body hair episode. Hey, you know what? Everybody's, It's the human body.
There are,
you guys,
people who have trouble though growing hair.
Sure,
and I'm not one of those people.
Well, I had an ex who did not grow, and you know, I don't want to get into stereotypes, but it is just guys that are 100% Asian.
I've known some hairy Asian guys though.
Yeah, that is true. That is true. But a lot of guys that are like 100% Asian don't always grow it like as much. So you know, it just depends.
My friend had alopecia.
Oh yeah, well,
I knew a friend who had trichotillomania.
Well, I'm like,
you know, that is right.
A lot of dudes have alopecia on
That's
their head.
That's where you pull your own hair.
Oh no, no, I've heard of that. No, that's.
I thought that was just called having children.
No, like they'll pick out their arm hair or their eyebrow or their eyelashes, and they'll just—it's a nervous thing.
I only do that to fight off my eyelashes because they're trying to attack my eyes. Same with my eyebrows.
Well, you know what? How about this? OLR, love your body no matter what. That's
yeah,
that's what it is.
Even with your manias.
Bonds 006 says, OLR, so you're a teenager. Yes, all right. We need to move on.
See, you'll start to feel differently about the opposite sex. And then,
or maybe not, or, Loki.
Or
you won't feel differently at all. You'll still be ace. And
you'll just feel
indifferent.
Different.
You'll feel awkward. Very awkward. Yeah,
no matter what, you're going to feel awkward.
And your skin, at the time where you want to look your best, your skin will look its worst. You will have a topographical map of the Himalayas on your face.
And I know that people like to tell you that it gets better when it comes to things like that. And for the most part, life does get better.
Mine got worse as an adult.
But when it comes to your skin, it's never going to get better.
No,
so
that's why drugs exist.
All right. Anyhow, let's move on. Thank you to our soccer for getting us on a 10-minute tangent about non-gaming related things. But let's get back into gaming and get into some rapid fire news. Loki.
Yes. So this is pretty cool. And I've actually kind of looked at this game myself and bought it. So bad on me. But It's a really neat indie game. I know it was one that I was kind of interested in because it was a Unity-made game. But the A Hat in Time, which has been out on several different platforms, on PC, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One, has finally sold 500,000 copies, which is great. And it, for those not familiar with the game, it's kind of like a 3D platformer akin to like a Mario 64 or something like that, but it's cute and definitely worth checking out. I wish it was on the Switch. I would totally pick it up on the Switch, but yeah, I guess I'll have to play it on the PlayStation 4.
Yeah, I don't really know this game, so I'll have to check it out.
Yeah, it looks really cool, so definitely check that out. The other one was Freeze Me, which is not this game, but it's similar to Mario 64. Anyways, and then, of course, as always, each month we have our free games. I'm not sure what PlayStation is. I checked and they didn't have the listing for it yet, but for the Microsoft side of things, in August, we're going to be getting Forza Horizon 2 Standard 10th Anniversary Edition is going to be free August 1st to the 31st, and For Honor is going to be available from August 16th through September 15th. And then on the Xbox 360 compatible games, we have Dead Space 3 and Disney's Epic Mickey 2.
So, oh, interesting.
That's pretty awesome. So Dead Space, first half of the month, and Epic Mickey 2, second half of the month.
To this day, I still hate the name Epic Mickey.
Yeah.
But that's all right.
The game's supposed to be pretty decent, but I don't know.
Yeah, I think the second game a lot of people kind of passed on, but I heard it was better than the first.
I like the idea of like this twisted Magic Kingdom stuff. I wish they went more with that, but then, you know.
Well, now many people will have a chance to visit it. ActF says the second game was okay-ish. Well, maybe it's not
well,
for everybody.
Well, free.
That's right.
That's not an okay-ish price.
Free so. With your subscription.
Yeah.
Yeah, all right. Anyway, I have a couple stories with audio to go with it, including a story about WarioWare Gold. Apparently, I thought that WarioWare Gold was supposed to be like just a mix of like greatest hits, but apparently there's like newer stuff that's showing up in it too. Some of the minigames have been redone, and then there's this. There is a minigame in it called Mewtroid 2 Return of Samyao. So that's right. It is a Metroid-ish type of game full of cats. Oh, it's not. I don't know. It's not really Metroid, but the music is sure Metroid. And you're this little cat with a gun, and you're shooting all these little turtles as they're trying to get up to you. Anyway.
I love it.
I know, I love it too. Like, I was like, well, I'm not going to buy this WarioWare game on 3DS if it's just a mix of all the old stuff. But now I'm like, God
yes,
damn
I
it.
Am.
God damn it. They're really going to get me to do that.
Just when I thought I was out, come and pull me right back in.
All right. Anyway. So, speaking of audio related things, the Smash Brothers Ultimate page has been revealing some of the new music that's going to be in the game. Get this, there is a new F-Zero arrangement in the game. So, that's awesome. But it gets better. Takunobu Mitsuyoshi is the musician behind this. Have you ever heard that name before? I'll give you a hint. He sang a song and it went like this. Do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. So the Daytona guy is doing an F-Zero song. Are you fucking ready to hear this?
I don't know if I am ever
ready
to hear
it. You cannot handle this.
Okay.
And then he gets into singing. Let me move forward a little bit. He sings a little more in the second half of this clip. Come on, get some more singing. Ah, this is such a good clip though.
I'm okay with this.
It's like things I didn't know I needed until I had them. I love it. Anyway, so please, more stuff like that. Like, you know, and one thing I think we tend to forget about the Smash Brothers games, they never slack in the music department. They never slack in the music department.
Can we get a new F-Zero game and then have the Daytona car as a special unlock?
That'd be amazing. Oh, my God. ActDef says, I want an F-Zero with this music. I want any type of F-Zero. And ActDef
goes...
You
think if they're making new arrangements of music that... Perhaps they are working on something, or do they just do this for Smash?
I feel like this is a Smash thing, because a Smash thing is usually where you get like these big legendary artists to do like songs. But well, I don't know. We'll see.
Well, since you're here.
Yeah, right? You can hope. You can hope. Or his fifth dream in chat says, perhaps, since we just had a story about cats. All right, forget it.
That should be a full-fledged game right there.
What else do we have, Loki?
All right. So remember that whole adaptive Xbox controller for, you know, accessibility and stuff like that? So, of course, they went the extra mile of not only thinking about the accessibility of the controller, but the accessibility of the packaging. So they actually addressed the need of, you know, people that might be disabled with the packaging as well. So they would be able to open the cardboard box with limited mobility and that type of thing. So that's pretty awesome. So they had this loop that you would be able to pull that would kind of help with opening the packaging and on the box and stuff. And to get the controller out of the box, you had another loop to pull and everything. So that's pretty neat that they went that far as to think about packaging. It, on top of it.
Like, I don't have challenges when it comes to opening packaging. And, you know, even though sometimes the stuff that, you know,
unless
you,
it's in a
those fucking clamshells or, yeah. But anyway, all that aside, like, I was looking at the unboxing of this and I'm like, that looks like fun. That looks like to open that looks like kind of like fun, you know? It's very different. So that's really cool. That's cool for everyone, but especially the fact that, you know, it helps differently abled folks is really cool. So
yeah.
Neat.
And the other thing, of course, is Homestar Runner is going to be getting its own board game thanks to a Kickstarter program. So they have, Homestar Runners, and it's an area control game, which will allow up to 2 to 6 players work together to help a beefy armed dragon completely decimate a kingdom by using unique powers and items.
Awesome.
So it's pretty awesome looking. Apparently, they had a $75,000 goal. They blew through that immediately. And right now, with 3 weeks left, they are over $750,000 and on to stretch goals. So
I had a feeling it would get funded pretty quick.
So I'm glad that that turned out well. Let's hope that it actually gets released. Yeah, they're at $844,000 right now. Let's just hope that everything goes well, because, you know, Kickstarter can be a little bit shady sometimes.
Dark Tetsuya wants to remind you in our chat room that he does have a name. The name is
Trogdor! Right.
I think Loki just didn't want to say it. All right. Anyhow, we're going to get to some release dates here in just a moment. Looking at some other comments in chat over at live.vognetwork.com, ActDef says, yeah, they do this for Smash. They did a ton of arrangements for Brawl like this. So, yeah, I wouldn't get your hopes up, Loki, that there's a whole new game coming for F-Zero, although I really, really wish it would be. But anyhow, what games are coming out that I will get to play, Loki, in the U.S.?
So in the U.S., we're going to get to play a game called Chasm, which would be on PC, PlayStation 4, and the Vita. We have Code of Princess EX on the Nintendo Switch, Titan Quest on the Nintendo Switch, Yakuza 0 on PC, This is the Police on PC, Mac, and Linux.
Is it now?
Oh, I'm sorry. This is the Police 2. It's the sequel.
I didn't know there was a This is the Police 1.
There was, yes, right. I remember it. And then finally, WarioWare Gold on the 3DS.
So you can play Mewtroid.
Yes, that's really the only reason. Well, and it's WarioWare. It's amazing. Why it's not on the Switch for no reason whatsoever, I don't know.
All right, well, heading over to Japan, and then maybe you could fill in with the UK dates since Jamie had to leave. Going over to Japan, checking out the releases there. On the PlayStation 4 on August 2nd, Friday the 13th, the game gets released in Japan, which seems a bummer. It's probably a little late over there in Japan because the game is not really going to be getting supported anymore. I guess they ran into some issues with the movie and stuff, which kind of sucks because the game was like everybody was fucking playing that when it was first out, and it was a lot of fun, and then it kind of died off like real quick.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of bummed that that game had such inertia behind it, and they kind of dropped the ball. And I think a lot of it has to. I don't necessarily think it's the developer's fault. I think it just has to.
They should just spin off with more horror characters.
I know they should just make their own horror thing game that just doesn't even use the Friday the 13th characters. And if they just put by the makers of Friday the 13th game, people will check.
Yeah,
it out.
Just like make new characters, and you can even have different characters that people could play as that would be different abilities or multiple.
Which
I don't think
like any of the campers are based off of real people except for the one that you revive one of the players to bring back. Like that, I can't remember who that was. It was from like Friday the 13th Part 3 or something. There's like I don't think the kids are
Yeah,
aren't
I mean,
based
whatever.
On
they're
any
generic
characters.
Fathers.
Yeah, they're generic. All right, anyway. Let's see. Going to other comments. Sorry, not other comments, but other games that are releasing on the PlayStation 4 in Japan. Saga Scarlet Grace is out on August 2nd in Japan, as well as a game called Border Break is out from Sega in Japan. There's also a bunch of PS4 with Border Break in them. So I guess Border Break is a big enough game to be getting different PlayStations with it. I'm not super familiar with this series, but it's by Sega, and it's 10 versus 10 high-speed robot battles is what this game is. This is more up your alley, Loki.
It looks cool. I don't know what it is.
Yeah,
I want to know what it is.
You may have to look
it
up more.
It looks pretty badass. I mean, you know, screenshots look pretty sweet.
And if you have yet to jump on Monster Hunter World, good news. It's moving into, like, the best hits already. That seems really fast. But that means a price reduction over there in Japan.
It looks like either, like, a Virtual On or, like, Armored Core almost.
Mm.
I'm down. Man, is this coming over here?
I don't know. Going to the Switch, that Saga Scarlet Grace is also out on the Switch. Otherwise, you also have Pro Yakyu Famista Evolution and Lego The Incredibles gets its release over there. There's also some different accessories with Mario's face and stuff on them, if that is your sort of thing.
It was an arcade game, that's why.
Ah,
I recognize it.
Got it. Okay, how about the UK? Loki.
All right, UK is not getting a whole ton of stuff. They're getting Titan Quest as well on the Switch and Hello Neighbor on the Switch and on PlayStation 4. And that's unfortunately it.
All right. Well, let's go to the mailbag because every week you guys send us emails and we read some of our favorites here on the show. If you want to email us, I encourage you to do so. Participate at orangeloungeradio.com. And we do have one email in the mailbag tonight. It's nice to hear from some folks. One email in the mailbag tonight. And tonight's email comes to us courtesy of Frodo Swaggins, who emails us the following. Rob, I was watching your stream this week of No Man's Sky. Thank you. I recognize the name from the stream. Thank you. I know you'll probably mention it in your gaming week, but I was curious to know what you think of the update. Is it something you will continue to play? Also, I was wondering about the multiplayer. I know you can have up to four people in your game, but I can't understand what the point is in naming a creature that you discover or making your base discoverable for other players when it seems to be invite only. How would anyone stumble across something of yours if it's not some type of mega server? I guess I'm a bit confused there. Weekly
because
listener.
It is a big mega server.
Frodo Swaggins. Yeah. And Frodo, I think that might be the misunderstanding there is that it is a mega server. You are connecting to...
the problem is it's such a vast universe that
yes.
You probably won't run across the person that you're... Like, if I was trying to find Rob, you know, without actually joining his game or something like that, it would probably be very impossible for me to run across.
There's ways stuff. To do it because Dungeon Buster got to us in his main game, and I don't know how
right,
he
but
did
I
meant, it.
Like, if I was just casually playing the game, I wouldn't probably run across
oh,
your
yeah.
stuff.
No, no. And I think that was the whole reason why the developers kind of thought maybe they didn't need multiplayer in the beginning, is they were like, the universe is too huge. You're never going to run into other people because there's too many places to be. But I do know when I did play the first version of the game, it took me a little while, but I transported, like, you know, I went like 10 jumps, 10 different galaxies in, and I got to a galaxy that somebody else had named. So I saw their name, and I think they kept the default name or whatever. Like, a lot of people just keep the default names, but I saw this guy's name, and it said it was credited, it was discovered by, and then whoever the gamer tag was on PlayStation 4. So in the case of like Planet Blissey, that I named, if some rando comes across that universe, they're going to see Planet Blissey. And so they'll be like, Blissey, what is this? So they'll know, well, they'll see my name, that I'm the one that discovered it. So they'll land in there. And then, of course, the universe Bobby Blackwolf named is Voglandia, or I think that was it, Voglandia. So, you know, people are going to see right away that people have been here before, and that's going to be your first hint. Now, in our chat over at live.vognetwork.com, Dungeon Buster says, it's from when you start the game. You can choose to start your own game or join a friend's if they are online. So, but aren't you starting a new game when you do that, Dungeon Buster? Or can you take like your old data and move to the new one? I don't know. But when you do play online, you can, yeah, you will basically start in the universe that your friends started in. And that's what we kind of learned was happening. Like, by the time I went to Planet Blissey, which was a different planet in the system, more people were joining the game, like Bobby Blackwolf, like my friend Neil. and they started in the exact same place I did on the starting planet, and they figured it out because I had named one of the creatures Kitty because it was this adorable little thing that was walking around. I just go, Kitty, because that's – Alan does that sometimes whenever he sees like a thing. He'll go, Kitty. So I named it Kitty, and Bobby, when he started his game, he's like, oh, I am where you started because there's a lot of the resources aren't here, and I just found Kitty. So it's kind of interesting how that worked. So, okay, Dungeon Buster says, I saved my game and went back to choose Friends Lobby and Zoom. I made it to Blissey. Interesting. Okay. So there's ways to do it. The one thing I did think was interesting about the online, though, and something I wish they'd change. When you do play online, meaning the multiplayer stuff, I believe the naming is always going to be there. But if you want people to be able to find you and all that stuff, you can opt to play online. But when you do that, anyone can join your game. Anyone. There is no setting for friends only, like most games have. That would be my one feedback for Hello Games that I think is a really obvious thing that they left out, is I would really like to have a mode where friends only can come into my solar system. Because I was playing the game, and I think in the very first stream I did, I was playing the game and some rando joined. And at this point, I already left the home planet and I really had no interest in going back to go meet some rando. So yeah. I was just like, whatever, dude, you're on your own. I'm curious if that rando stayed with it or what they did, because it would be very interesting to see if maybe he didn't figure out that Blissey was a great planet. Maybe he tried to establish a presence somewhere else. Or if when I left the game, he was like, fuck that guy, and just left. I don't know. Who knows? So, anyway. Dungeon Buster continues. Getting back to my universe, that was kind of messy after you left. I tried using the gate from the space station in your system and ended up in empty space killed by cosmic rays. Wow. I kept all my stuff. It was just as if I jumped to a new system, only you and Black Wolf were there. Interesting. Huh. I kind of think that's interesting. So you can kind of take your data and move it to other games wherever you want. Well, that's kind of neat. So I do know also they have that galactic map online. So theoretically, if I could figure out how to give you the coordinates of Voglandia, then you could look it up on this galactic map and you'd be able to see everything we're doing there. I don't know what all the galactic map tells you. I guess we're still trying to figure some of that out. So we'll see. Dungeon Buster in chat says, you can only invite friends, but so far you can't restrict it to only friends. So, Kaijudo says, sorry, the universe is for all. Friends only is too secluded for my taste. You're changing it, though, Kaijudo. The universe is still open to all. Everything you name and all that stuff still changes it with all. The thing is that if you don't want to necessarily adventure with other people, then, you know, I think you should be able to turn it off. Because the resources you gather, the stuff you do, that does impact the planet. So I could see how like people might lightly troll, but I don't think you could really troll anybody that bad in the game. But I just, you know, with voice chat and everything, I don't need somebody joining my game going, you know, F.
Well,
and all this,
have
know,
we gotten, like, can't you buy, like, big freighters and stuff like that in this game now?
I haven't gotten that far yet.
Because that'd be cool. Like,
I don't even have my fucking, like, warp drive to go to another universe built yet. But I'm not in a hurry to leave my current universe. You know what I mean? That's kind of how
go back and play it.
Play. You should. If you bought the game, check it out with the update. You don't have to pay for it. So, anyway.
I downloaded it again. I know I downloaded it again when I got my new system.
It's a 9-gig update, though. Be careful. It's going to take you time. All right.
Oh, well, my game's already updated. They update because I keep everything in sleep mode, so it updates automatically.
Oh, good, good.
So when I go in there.
Bobby does point out if they're joining your game, you can mute and kick them. Oh, that's good to know about trolls. Watch out though with PlayStation 4. If you haven't played it in a while, PS4 won't keep updating it. So if you haven't launched it in like over 2 months, PS4 is not going to update it automatically.
Well, I just downloaded it again, so I would think it would try to
then you should be fine.
I mean, it wasn't like this week that I downloaded it. I downloaded it a couple weeks ago.
You should be fine. I think it was in the last 30 or 60 days. Should be fine. All right. Anyway, that was it for the mailbag. Thank you very much for the email. Appreciate that. And again, if you guys want to email us in a future week, participate at orangeloungeradio.com is the place to send those emails. In the meantime, we have a few more stories for you guys. Then we're going to open up the Skype line at Orange Lounge Radio, all one word, on Skype. But first, Loki.
So apparently a hacker that was, he was arrested for cracking Denuvo's anti-pirate piracy software. So apparently, this guy in Bulgaria named Voxy, he broke through, I guess, their cracking software and was able to crack Denuvo. And so with that, I guess that got him a little bit of attention. And so he has been arrested. And basically said, it finally happened. I can't say it wasn't expected. Police came yesterday and took the server PC and my personal PC. I had to go to the police afterwards and explain myself.
Wow.
Apparently, they said, you know, that the parent company of Denuvo, Erdito, and I guess the Bulgarian cybercrime unit had an investigation into him, and says, the swift action of the Bulgarian police on this matter shows that the power of collaboration between law enforcement and technology providers, and that piracy is a serious offense that will be acted upon.
Well,
I mean, congratulations, you caught somebody, but
it's not going to stop. Hacker's going to hack. Doesn't matter.
Yeah.
It's still, and especially if this is not popular, which I'm pretty sure Denuvo is not very popular from what I've heard, it's probably not going to stop it. I'm not defending piracy. Like, again, you know, like, if
sucks.
You like something, you should pay money for it. I'm not going to defend
anti-piracy
that.
Methods like this do suck when it affects the performance of the game.
Right. When the anti-piracy gets too fucking out of hand, though, I understand why people want to be able to just disable it. You know what I mean? I miss the days of just having to look something up in page 4 of the manual. Give me the code on page 4. All right. We all know why that doesn't really work, though. All right.
Because you could photocopy that stuff?
Some of them you couldn't. I remember when they started printing them on like that red paper that you can't photocopy. But now they just PDF it.
Now you can scan it.
There's so much stuff you can do. Anyway, moving on. I know we don't usually talk about sports games on the show, but I think this one was worth noting because it's one of those things where you go, wow, they're finally doing this in 2018. It seems like this should have been something that happened a lot sooner. But the newest EA basketball game that's on its way out, NBA Live 19, EA has announced that you will be able to make female characters in Create a Player mode, finally. Which is interesting because if I remember right, they added the WNBA last year. So, I mean, that was good, but now you can finally make a female avatar if you want, because they do this whole live run, the one streets world tour, live events. They do a lot of like street basketball. Like, it's not all like just playing stuff in an arena, right? You do a lot of like street basketball and stuff. Mm-hmm. So why shouldn't, you know, well, I mean, honestly, in any of it you should be able to play a woman, but I understand that unfortunately the NBA doesn't totally reflect that now that women are like fully integrated in that. They have the two separate leagues, but that's a whole nother Oprah. But at least for like some of like the street ball and the stuff where it's just like, you know, friends playing a game together, you can do whatever you want. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
So, yeah, very cool. Also, the new trailer that kind of showcases this, they actually got Candace Parker from the Los Angeles Sparks to kind of be in the trailer. So they're, you know, trying to get some of the WNBA a little more involved with it, which is pretty cool. And I think this story popped up in our Discord server, which if you're not on our Discord, you should check that out over at vognetwork.com/Discord. We'll get the invite for you. I think it came up when the story was posted. I said, yeah, I mean, and I've said this before on the show, I was a fan of the WNBA. I say was because we had a team here in Sacramento. Now we don't anymore. And it's like, it's not the same thing. We don't have like hometown games to go to, sadly. I miss it. Anyway, looking in chat at live.vognetwork.com, SSJ100 Matt points out NHL also lets you make and play as women in the game. Yep. Let's see. And Dark Tetsuya says, I just thought this was a really cool story. Although NBA Hangtime does have it beat by about 20 years, it also had create a player mode and buried it amongst the normal male heads and weird costume heads. There are a couple female heads you could pick. So, pretty cool. All right. Anyhow, let's move on. The next story was for Darkstalker. Maybe you can cover it, Loki.
Sure.
Yeah.
So, Castlevania Season 2 is coming to Netflix on October 26th, and they had a pretty cool trailer for that. But that's not all, because a third season is already in the works and should be coming, well, I'm assuming afterwards. I still have yet to watch the first season. It was on my thing, you know, I wanted to, and I just didn't get around to it. But the second season looks awesome, and I guess I have some time to binge that. But, yeah, it looks pretty
sweet. I know, I still need to watch it, too. I'm so bad.
It looks good.
Yeah.
I mean, so I'm interested to check it out. And obviously, it's popular if, you know, we're getting a third season.
Yeah, I haven't really heard negative stuff about it, so I think it's being pretty well received, so that's cool.
Yeah.
All right.
So, Can't wait.
All right.
All right. And then something that I didn't necessarily ask for, but it's coming, is Forsaken, a HD remake of Forsaken, 20 years after the game came out. So Night Dive Studios, they were a developer that I guess did HD updates for Turok and Turok 2. They're going to be doing this as well. Forsaken was kind of a, looked like a Descent type game. Basically, you know, they're going to be updating it with, you know, 60 FPS and, of course, you know, higher resolution textures. Although, I mean, this is a game that came out on the original PlayStation and Nintendo 64. So it is a little bit, you know, low poly and that type of stuff. But it's interesting. I did watch the actual trailer for it, but I don't know. And it's actually coming out very soon. It's going to be launching on July 31st. So right around the corner, a couple days, if you're interested. And that's on Xbox One and PC.
All right. Was that the one that had the commercials that were like, the future is forsaken? Was that that game?
Yes.
Oh, my God. I remember that. All right. Anyway, one more story for you guys, then we're going to open up the Skype line. So get ready to give us a call. Orange Lounge Radio, all one word on Skype. And, oh, gosh, you knew. If you saw this story, you just knew we were saving the best for last. That's right. There is a porn of Fortnite coming, a Fortnite porn parody. And you know what the game is, or excuse me, the game. You know what the porn parody is called? I'm sorry. I just laughed just looking at it on the screen. You ready? Loki, what would you call a porn parody of Fortnite?
Fortnite?
You would think Fucknite, right? Or something like that, right?
Yeah.
Nope. Sure. It's called Fortnut.
Fortnut? That's stupid.
It's a joint production between Wood Rocket and Pornhub. And I guess these people that are in this porn parody are semi-famous, sure. And they have like a little colorful little thing going on here with this whole thing. Anyway, there's an NSFW trailer if you want to look it up on YouTube. I'm not going to play it here. You can look it up on your own if you want. So check it out. and I guess there's one of the jokes goes, we need to find a chest. And then the camera zooms in on the boobs. So that's, you know,
highbrow humor there.
That's right. That's right. Anyway, you can check that out. I'm sure Pornhub has that available if you are interested in Fortnut.
Fortnut. Stupid. I watched the trailer. It was absolutely fucking terrible. Like it was
you did.
Like it was like a parody of what porn parodies are. I mean, it's just, you're like, wow, that's some shit dialogue. Like just like not even trying. It's just like, fuck it, you know, whatever.
All right. Orange Lounge Radio, all one word on Skype, if you would like to give us a call tonight to talk about anything we've talked about, or maybe you have something else on the brain. I don't know. Anyway, the Skype line is open, and while we wait for somebody to maybe drop in on the Skype line, let me check if there's any last-minute stories.
I do have a last-minute story, and it's amazing. So there was a game that was created by LucasArts not too long, well, actually, it was pretty long ago, called Day of the Tentacle.
Oh, shit, yeah.
So there's a fan game now that is a sequel to that.
Oh.
Called Return of the Tentacle, and you can play it for free. So you can check it out, actually, at CatMic, or CatMic, it's catmic.itch.io/return-of-the-tentacle. And it is basically done in the style of the original point-and-click game. And obviously the voice acting's kind of mimicked a little bit, but it's interesting. So I downloaded it before the cease and desist hits, but definitely go check it out because, I mean, I love those LucasArts games.
Yeah.
That's, so it looks pretty
well,
awesome.
Didn't they do like a modern remake of Day of the Tentacle a little bit ago?
Right.
Because I remember the one from the 80s, and then they did like a newer one a few years ago.
Yeah, the newer one was, Day of the Tentacle, yeah, was they updated the HD one. This is done in the style of the HD one.
Okay, got it.
So it's got still it. The point.
And it's all stuff. Maniac Mansion.
It's all Maniac Mansion and guest characters.
Huh.
There's cameos from other stuff in there, too.
Okay.
So
cool.
Yeah.
All right. Well,
definitely worth checking out.
Be looking forward to that.
I will have to play it.
All right. I will have to as well. Okay. Well, I think, I guess we're going to go ahead and wrap up because I'm so tired. I'm so exhausted. I'm ready to just vegetate a little bit. I'm sure y'all understand. But we'll be back next week to do it all over again in about 7 days. As I always say at the end of every episode, if you enjoyed what you heard here at Orange Lounge Radio, please tell a friend or two about the show. Help us spread the word, because we are the show where every gamer has a voice, but only if the voices are here to actually air them. So you can also send us an email, participate@orangeloungeradio.com. And you can tweet us at OLR. You can join our Discord, vognetwork.com/discord. I guess that's where I get to everybody's final thoughts. So, Loki, what's your final thought?
My final thought is I'm going to be still working on games in Unreal now. I'm checking it out and seeing how that goes.
All
right, working on my spawner script right now, and I'm just following along with the lesson, so I don't really feel like I'm creating too much. Although I did like adapt some of the bit to, it's just, and the artwork that's there is provided by somebody else, so it's not that great. I like, I redo everything from scratch, but it's just more of the learning something, learning how Unreal works and everything. So I'm looking forward to seeing how some of that works, because it, I don't know, I'm gonna make my own thing later, but it, I'm just making this, going through this lesson.
All right. And my final thought tonight is I'm ready to just go. I need to take a little bit of a walk to get some steps in and get. I haven't sent any Pokey gifts today. And Loki and I are about to become 3-star friends.
Yes.
Like today. That's a 50,000 experience bonus. I actually hit three stars. I hit three stars with a few people.
So it is 50,000?
It's 50,000 XP.
Oh, so you know what's funny is the egg works on that.
Yes, it does.
So I did that last time. I got 100,000 from somebody.
Yeah. And then I think best friends is 100. The 4 stars is 100,000. I think.
Cool.
I heard that's what it is. I don't. Obviously, it takes a while to hit that. It's like 90 days to hit that. But my friend up in Toronto is the one that every single day since it started, we've traded gifts. And so I hit 3 stars with him first. And then the very next day, like Act Deft and I think SG100 Matt, like at the same time, we hit 3 stars.
Yeah, I've hit it with Act Deft and with Magma Lemur.
Oh, cool.
Yes.
Yeah, neat. All right. Well, I will try to get you a gift so we can hit 3 stars as well. Anyway, that's it. We're done. We're out of here. Thank you guys so much for listening to our show. Really appreciate it. We'll see you back here in 7 days to talk about what comes up in gaming over the next few days. Have a good night, everybody. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to Orange Lounge Radio. Orange Lounge Radio is a production of OLR Studios. To join us for a live show, tune into VogNetwork.com Sunday nights at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. The views and opinions expressed in this program do not necessarily reflect those of the staff of Orange Lounge Radio or Vogue Network, but you know they were all still true. See you next week.